absolutely fascinating. Ian Dunn, always a pleasure to talk to you. He's editor of the politics.co.uk website. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm joined now in the studio by John Holmes. John, do you fancy being Labour leader?
Oh, it's easy, isn't it? I mean, how hard can it be, really?
I reckon you
can
do
realistically.
It.
I don't particularly align myself with any particular party, Julia, obviously, but I'll give any of them a shot, frankly.
Okay, here's the if you could choose, but not for party political reasons, but just for your own enjoyment, which or party do you think you could do the most for? Which party do you think you would want to lead the most? Well, other than Monster Raving Looney, which is a given.
That's a given, yes. I don't know. I mean,
I'd see his outfit
you'd want
today.
To put what's Looney about that?
Yeah.
All right. Is it the white hood with the eyes cut in it? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're pointing at? Is that what you're saying?
That's a very different
party. I wish I'd worn it.
That's
now.
A different party.
I'd set up a different one, wouldn't you? I mean, really, just amalgamate all the bits you liked of all the other ones.
The John Holmes.
Yeah, exactly. So I like a bit of that, and I like a bit of that, and I don't like that, and I'll just make my own one. Thank you.
That's the job. I always think that's the thing with politics in Britain today. Is it actually, you know, most people? I think really, with all due respect to people who are party members and things, but most people do not feel an alignment with any sort of absolute allegiance to a particular.
No,
exactly.
No.
Do you know what? I was approached over the years by four different political parties to run as an MP for them. Four different
And what
ones.
Made you not do it then?
I couldn't take the bake up. I wouldn't have to deal with voters. Don't have to deal with voters. I like people. I like callers on radio stations. Don't like voters.
Don't like voters.
They're
the same.
What's coming up on your show?
Oh, the stuff and things. What are we doing today? There's a mystery object quiz. That's where I hold up a thing in front of the microphone. You have to guess what it is. It's that. That's the mystery object. That's going to happen.
It's award-winning radio people.
Oh, yeah. The news in haikus, of course, because the news is very complicated, so you have to distill it down to its purest form.
What rhymes with Sadiq? You don't need a rhyme with a haiku.
No, of course you don't. No.
Oh, I feel stupid now.
Absolutely.
I was thinking of limericks.
Yeah.
That's the level of my poetry.
Yeah. Last time I told you a limerick in here, you made a face at me.
And it's sort of, for God's sake, don't make them take us off air.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
I often make that face at you. You
do all the time, to be fair.
He walks in the studio and that's the face. Do you know what? I think time's up. They're waving at me. We need to go.
Right,
listen,
fine.
John Holmes is coming up in just a couple of moments. I'm escaping the studio.
There was a woman called Julia.
She really was very peculiar. He'll finish it off in the break. I'll be back at 10 o'clock. Do not finish it off now. I'll be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Churchy, I can't do it.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm a car, and I'm scared of the road. It's embarrassing, OK? But I just can't leave the drive knowing there's over a million uninsured maniacs out there.
If you're hit by an uninsured driver, we'll repair your car and make sure you keep your no-claim discount.
Oh, yes.
Oh, thanks, Churchy. Woohoo! Let's hit the A3079.
Churchill, depend on the dog. Source Motor Insurers Bureau, comprehensive cover and non-fault claims only. Registration number, make and model of other vehicle required. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Some people believe that hybrid cars are expensive. Then again, some people also believe that aliens built the pyramids. UFOs make crop circles, no one's ever won the lottery. The Earth is actually flat. Bigfoot, Nessie and the abominable snowman. Oh, and we never went to the moon, which incidentally is a hologram. So, you can't believe everything you hear now, can you? But the Toyota Yaris Hybrid is available with 0% APR representative, £900 towards your deposit and 3 years free servicing. Fact. Finance deposit allowance available when financed flexibly through Toyota Financial Services. 3 years free servicing up to 30,000 miles. Indemnities may be required. Subject to status to over 18s. Terms and conditions apply. Excludes active. Nessie isn't real.
VanBuster now on. Leyland Trade contract matte emulsion 12 litre, just £13 each. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade point members only.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you to each and every one of our customers. And what better way to say thanks than offering you a great deal, like a free 40-point brake check. So get down to your local QuickFit today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock. It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, a murderer jailed after 30 years. Boris denies Cameron's EU war claims. And could the Osbournes be splitting up?
Talk Radio.
After getting away with murder for more than three decades, a father of four has been jailed for life with a minimum of 22 years for killing a teenage girl in Somerset in a sexually motivated attack. 64-year-old Christopher Hampton only admitted stabbing 17-year-old Melanie Rowe to death in 1984 after a breakthrough in DNA evidence. Her mother, Jean, said it was incredibly hard seeing him in court.
It's not a man, he's a monster. How could he do that? Then I realised that his wife and his daughter were sitting behind me, both blonde hair, the same as Melanie. How could he do that to somebody and then live with people like that and them not knowing?
Boris Johnson has hit back at claims by the Prime Minister that leaving the EU could damage peace. David Cameron also warned that closet cooperation with European countries was not an optional extra, with the dual threats of the Islamic State group and Russia. But in his biggest speech to date, the former Mayor of London and out campaigner says that's bogus.
Everybody knows that peace in Europe over the last 60, 70 years has been guaranteed by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The European Union, as you will remember, exacerbated the problems by the premature decision to recognise Croatia.
Following terror attacks in Brussels and Paris, one of the UK's largest police forces has doubled the number of its armed officers. West Midlands Police says it's because it's been inundated with requests from officers wanting to have more training. Fresh talks are taking place between the doctors' union and the government over a new contract for junior medics in England. Over the weekend, the BMA decided to return to discussions after the health secretary agreed to a five-day pause before forcing in any new deal. Dr. Hamid Khan has told Talk Radio hopes of a deadlock can be broken.
It's a shame that it's come to this. As a profession, doctors don't like striking. We've never been on strike in the last 40 years or so. So it's a shame that we had to go to this extent to enable these negotiations. But nevertheless, what's happened has happened. Let's hope that lessons can be learnt from the past and that we can move forward in a positive, constructive way.
Michel Platini is to resign as UEFA president after failing to have his ban from football overturned. The sanctions is over a payment received from former FIFA boss Sepp Blatter. And it's reported Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne may be splitting up after more than 33 years of marriage. A spokesman for the couple says that this time Ozzy's not at the marital home. The Black Sabbath frontman is known for his problems with drug and alcohol addiction, with his relapse leading to divorce rumours in 2013.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunny but breezy in northern areas. Cloudier in the south with a chance of some heavy and thundery showers. Feeling very warm. With highs of 24.
I see. So it's still warm, Victoria. But in the news yesterday, it said it was going to be raining today. So
well, I just said
in
that.
The south.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
Thanks.
It's fine. Here's some sport. Here's sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Arsenal striker Danny Welbeck will have a scan later to establish the extent of the knee injury he suffered in yesterday's 2-2 draw at Man City. Boss Arsene Wenger says he's worried by his condition, with England manager Roy Hodgson naming his provisional Euro 2016 squad on Thursday. It's feared Welbeck could miss the tournament. We'll find out the provisional Wales squad for Euro 2016 today. A 28-man party will be confirmed. Manager Chris Coleman will then announce the final lineup of 23 players on the 31st of May. What? Burnley will be awarded the Sky Bet Championship title trophy later. They'll celebrate promotion back to the Barclays Premier League with a civic reception at the Town Hall. That'll be followed by an open-top bus parade. Finally, Andy Murray has split with his tennis coach, Amélie Mauresmo. They say it's a mutual decision after nearly 2 years of working together. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
Thanks, Ben.
Talk Radio.
Unloading 9 bags of shopping from the car in one trip? Surely not! You take a sip of Lucozade Energy and realise, I can do this. 9 is nothing. Load me up, you cry, striding up the garden path before unlocking the front door with your chin. Lucozade Energy. Find your flow.
Previously on the John Holmes Show.
Hello, here we are.
Also in the news, the bones of King Richard III.
At Martina said, outrageous.
I am campaigning against parts.
Literally no one's got any idea what you're talking about.
The character didn't even exist. I went in and they wrote it for me.
It's just a reaction.
I just can't get my hair around, John.
Death metal band.
The World Meteorological Organization has reported that in 2015,
Dolmio sauce is death in a jar.
All drunk and weird and mental. As Captain Paul Ross deliberately reverses over Sam Delaney's scooter in the Talk Radio car park. Wolvervine. You've got to check the system.
You've got to check the system, check the Jamie. System.
Terrapilarium.
Should remain free to defend humanity without government interference.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century. Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk Radio.
When I am mounted on a giant
So, good afternoon to you then, and welcome. It's All Kinds of Monday, and once again, we are all over it like a Canadian wildfire. I am John Holmes, and just as those passengers on that cruise ship are throwing their tummies up thanks to the norovirus, so we now vomit up another 3 hours of radio-based entertainment, and I use the term entertainment optimistically. Welcome. It is Monday, the 9th of May, and if it was it was the BAFTA TV Awards last night, wasn't it? Of course, traditionally the night in the television firmament of the odd juxtaposition of celebrities cheering a massacre or natural disaster. I always think it's slightly weird when the coverage of one of those wins an award. So, you know, when they all get up and the gritty gets up and everyone goes, "Oi!" and applauds sort of terror and death at every... It happens every year, this, right? So they go, and the BAFTA goes to the BBC's coverage of the death of thousands in a tsunami. And it was, "Oi!" And then you cut to Tess Daly looking pleased about it. And last night it was, and the BAFTA goes to the massacre in Paris. Oh, look, there's Mary Berry from Bake Off applauding that. It's just weird. And Alicia Dixon from Britain's Got Talent's cheering it. It's just all terrible disasters, genuinely harrowing. The BAFTA goes to Keith Lemon. Oh, look, there's everyone hanging themselves. Oh, the humanity. Anyway, hello. Let's see. We have a look and see what we'll be sicking up in today's radio equivalent of a cruise ship toilet. I think we should. Headline hijack then on the way as we start another week of putting lies in the news. You are invited to donate. It's like donating blood, but instead of getting a mild feeling of lightheadedness and a biscuit, you get the sense of satisfaction that comes with the knowledge that you fibbed, fabricated, and faked your way into the brains of the nation. Send us your made-up news stories, and you could very well find yourself in the news at two, coming out of Victoria's mouth. 87 treble 2.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
There's also today's Lonely Lunch Club, of course. If you're lunching alone, get in touch. As you know, we will be your virtual friend and colleague on the telephone, able to chit about this. That's chit and chat about that. Anything you like. 87 treble 2.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio, to get on the list.
Twitter.
Also, work experience punditry TV reviews today. The big debate at 3 o'clock. There'll be the news in haikus. What the people think today, shirts or fire. And the mystery object quiz returns. All you have to do is identify the object I'm holding up in front of the microphone. There's also lukewarm guest action as we're joined by the presenter of Radio 5 Live's Men's Hour. You've never heard of him. He's called Tim Samuels. He's an award-winning journalist, and he's coming in to try and flog his new book. Speaking of the BBC, your chance to win a day at the BBC this afternoon, being bullied by Chris Evans. Details of that coming up very shortly. Speaking of gingers, Dave is producing.
Ahoy.
As Prodcast is through the glass.
Hello.
There she is. Marta's on the buttons.
Hello.
There you go. Victoria is spitting news.
I'm not spitting it.
Paid intern. Are you swallowing it?
No.
Okay, paid intern Cornelius is back from pastures, German. Hi, Con.
Guten Tag.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Tell us about your holiday.
It is really
actually,
fun.
Actually, no, don't. I'm John Holmes, and this is your Monday afternoon talk radio thing from Talk Radio. Ten past the hour of one on a Monday. Time for some music.
Whoa. The devil sends the beast with wrath,
because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
I left alone. My mind was blank. I needed time to think, to get the memories from my mind. What did I see? Could I believe that what I saw that night was real and not just fantasy? Just what I saw in my old dreams were the reflections of my woman staring back at me.
Minutes past 1 o'clock, and that is the noise of Iron Maiden on Talk Radio. Number of the Beast. Who wants to ask me what I'm playing? Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast on the radio. Playing Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast.
I've done a lot of asking why over the last week.
On the radio. Well, he's back.
I think he might have learned the word why in German.
Ask me in German why I'm playing Das Iron Maiden's.
John.
Yes.
Hello.
Guten Tag.
Warum spielst du der Iron Maiden?
Right, good. Right, I'll tell you. It's because it's got the word number in it.
Nummer?
Yes.
Das Wort Nummer?
It's got the number in it. And I needed it for today's big story. The big story everybody is talking about, of course, today is that a flight was delayed because a man was doing some maths on it. This is a professor at American Airlines. He was a professor and he was solving a differential equation. Right, numbers and stuff, maths. And a woman next to him expressed suspicion about this and called the flight attendant, and because she thought the equations were terrorism. So maths has brought down a plane, and they stopped the flight for 2 hours because
she didn't recognise the symbols numbers.
That's right. So he was taken off the plane, I think, and by the FBI because he was, you know, doing some maths.
Wow.
So that's why I'm playing Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast. I saw them live on their Power Slave tour. First band I saw live from Iron Maiden, 1985, Power Slave tour, Birmingham Odeon.
Year before I was born, that.
That's not true. Who was the first person you saw live?
Iron Maiden.
Who was it?
Iron Maiden.
Hang on.
Iron Maiden at the Birmingham Odeon.
It's not...
In 1985, but first gig, cool gig, I think.
What was the gig?
That would have been a cool gig,
yeah,
wouldn't
what,
it?
What was the gig, gig you went to before that?
Yeah.
The Kids from Fame, live at the NEC.
The Kids from Fame.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds embarrassing.
It was like Glee. It was basically a cool Glee.
How old are you then?
The
Kids, the Kids from Fame.
I can't remember what year that was, so I'd have been about 11 or something.
Same height then.
Yeah. Anyway, so that we're playing for the man whose flight was delayed by the maths, because of terrorism. This was probably an unnecessary bit of the description of him, right? But this is this professor, and he was from the University of Pennsylvania. He was an economics professor solving an equation. The woman next to him was suspicious that he was writing an equation and maths and numbers, and thought he was a terrorist. Let me read this. He has curly dark hair.
Yeah. It's the first sign you look for, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously. But the question is, right, is she right? Because maths, out of all the subjects, maths is the most dangerous, isn't it? If you think about it.
Yeah.
Because you need, maths is dangerous. Because if you had a plane in, what's a plane held up in the sky by?
Maths.
Quite.
Yeah.
Right? And if you take the maths away, what's going to happen?
Well, terrible thing.
It'll fall out of the sky, won't it? The only reason the plane is having this guy is because of maths.
Mm.
So it is, you know, if a terrorist works out how to remove the maths from, no pun intended, the equation, then planes will start dropping out of the sky all over the place. And you remember that, you know, it's now, the other worry is, of course, you've seen in the news anyway, these kids flying algebra over Heathrow.
Mm.
One was reported as hitting a plane, wasn't it? And a bit of algebra. You know, and it's an interesting subject. And so much so that we are going to discuss it in quite some detail with a guest on the telephone. As broadcast is through the glass.
Yep.
We need a guest to discuss the dangers of maths.
Of course you do.
Think it'll be all right?
Happy Monday, Cass.
Probs.
No day is ever happy for Cass. Look at her.
You done?
Yep. So Cass is going to find us a guest. And we'll talk to them next about the dangers of maths. It's 18 minutes past one. It's Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Your perfect hotel stay shouldn't involve paying for little extras. Unlike some hotels, at Hampton by Hilton, your satisfying breakfast, Wi-Fi and even a great night's sleep on our crisp white linens are all included. And when you book directly at Hampton.com, you'll also enjoy our best price guarantee. Booking somewhere else? Maybe check your bill for nasty surprises. Hampton by Hilton. Refreshingly different. Visit Hampton.com for terms and conditions.
What do I really want from life?
I want to see the world, find some real adventure.
I want to make a difference, do something that actually matters.
I want to see what I'm made of, properly make the family proud.
I want to master a new skill, a new challenge. Could even earn myself some extra cash.
But who's got time for that?
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 You do. For as little as 19 days of your year, you can become a better you. Search Army Reserve. Army, be the best.
Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition. To stop men dying from prostate cancer. To help stop prostate cancer from being a killer, search Men United now.
S is for...
spa retreat.
A is for...
aromatherapy treatment.
L is for...
lovely weekend of lions, here I come.
E is for...
excited, eating out, enjoyable, earned it.
Mum.
The Vauxhall sales event includes a £500 gift for you to spend on whatever you like, and that's on top of all our other great offers. So feel free to get as excited as you like. But hurry, it's only on for 5 days from the 12th to the 16th of May. Search Vauxhall sales event today on selected models across the range at participating Vauxhall retailers 12th to 16th May. £500 gift is not given in cash. T's and C's and exclusions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Greater Manchester's anti-clockwise M60, struggling towards junction 23 for Ashton under Lyne. Two lanes are out there because of an accident. Traffic on the M6 in Cheshire has been stopped northbound between 19 at Knutsford and 20 for the Lym interchange. That's so an accident can be moved to the hard shoulder. Heavy on Cambridge's northbound M11 past a breakdown between junctions 12 and 13 near Cambridge. There's also queues through Huntington in Cambridgeshire after earlier problems on the eastbound A14. And Hampshire's A31 in Ringwood is queuing eastbound towards the Southampton Road junction because of a breakdown. I'm Joanna Adams.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Drive with Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country.
Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
It's the superior work-to-sofa transmission system with intelligent presenter technology fitted as standard. Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Okay, it's just coming up to a time on a Monday afternoon. A lot of your reactions coming in. Don't forget you can react in the direction of Talk Radio. Should you have a spare reaction hanging around, then we will willingly take it off your hands. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Cornelius, what's coming in?
Builders, shoot them on sight. Has come in from person, yeah. And other person says, well, the thing is with these foreign adult movie stars is that they come over here.
Hello then. And if you're just joining us, well, we're talking about the big story of the day, of course, which is what everybody is... and I mean, when I mean everybody, I mean 100% of the population of the United Kingdom, Wales and Northern Ireland, might be Southern Ireland as well, I haven't checked, are talking about this story, of course, and this is the dangers of maths. A man was doing some maths on a plane. He was travelling on a domestic flight by American Airlines. In America, and Philadelphia to Syracuse, in case you're interested. And he was solving a differential equation on board. A woman spotted him doing it, thought it was maths terrorism, called the security. He was questioned by the FBI types. On the telephone now to discuss the dangers of maths is Professor Simon Chandler Wild. He's Professor of Applied Mathematics. Simon, where are you, a Professor of Applied Mathematics?
I'm a professor at the University of Reading.
University of Reading, okay, fine. So, Simon, the dangers of mathematics. I mean, which, in your opinion, is the most dangerous math? I mean, you know, in terms of what you get. I mean, is it a fraction? is it a geometry?
Well, that's a tricky yeah. question.
Well, you're used to tricky questions, aren't you, Simon? That's the thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. So certainly, I'm used to working on my maths myself when I'm travelling by air or travelling on train, as I was this morning, and I do get some funny looks from time to time. I haven't been taken off. Escorted off yet for doing those equations.
Well, the thing is, son, a plane, as we were saying, a plane is essentially held up in the sky by maths, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, and as an applied mathematician, I don't do planes myself, but I do design of road traffic noise barriers, for example, with complicated mathematics. But in some sense, the maths is a tool, and it can be used for lots of fantastic applications. But it can also be used for designing more dangerous things.
Well, that's right, exactly. I mean, that's it. So if a plane is held up in the sky by maths, I mean, if a terrorist took the maths away. Right, then the plane will drop. Right, I use take away as a clever maths reference. But if you do take it away,
subtract it.
Yeah, then it's gonna from the scenario. Then the plane's gonna drop out of the sky, isn't it?
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's a standard thing one would learn at university is the mathematics of how air flows around airfoils and keeps planes in the air.
Yeah. So what's the? I mean, in terms of numbers, because we've got some here.
Yeah.
And we're just looking at a list of them. I mean, Cornelius, yeah. You've got a few there, haven't you? One.
No. I mean, eight.
An eight's a safe number, isn't it, Simon? Because it's round, isn't it? It's a safe number.
I think you could be right there. Yes. I've never thought of eight as a dangerous number. No.
But a four, for example.
Four.
Is a pointy number. So that's, I mean, you know, if this man had been writing more fours.
Right. You think that might have been the issue?
Well, it's going to look like a more dangerous bit of maths, isn't it?
But what we write, probably, I mean, I've got in front of me what I was writing on the train this morning.
Do share.
So there's not so many numbers in it, really. It's kind of more symbols and frightening looking. Yeah, so I mean, the top of my page here, it starts integral over dr of 2. Well, that's the number. Real part of dizj, diz,
right.
dj, v bar, etc. Yeah, so not so many numbers appearing in more advanced.
No, I think I speak for everyone when I say, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, what is that an equation for, Simon?
So it's an equation to do with acoustics and working out... working out properties of solutions to how waves go over the top of noise barriers and stuff like that.
We could do with your help round here if you work in acoustics.
Yeah, probably could.
I'm just thinking of how you'd get in, because this guy had got a full equation. As you travel blatantly on the train with your equations, but people, if they're going to look at it and think it's dangerous, you know, what's the answer there? Is it that you maybe take an equation on board in its component parts? Is that why people worry about it? So it's like, have you seen The Day of the Jackal, Simon? The original.
Yeah.
You know when the guy...
Yeah, good, great film, yeah.
Yeah, very good. But he takes, doesn't he? I think it's Edward Fox, isn't he? And he takes the component parts of a weapon into a building, but by hiding them. And then he only assembles
it's worse than that, though, because I'm taking it on board just a completely innocuous blank pad of paper and a pencil.
Yeah.
And then I start writing all this stuff. And I bet that's what happens.
So the danger's in your head, isn't it? And there's no... It's basically, you're the maths equivalent of a trafficker who swallowed a condom full of drugs.
I've never thought about it like that, but you're quite right. You're quite right. Yeah.
That's you're basically a maths mule.
Maths mule. Yeah, that's right.
That's what the people are saying. The other question I wanted to ask you was about these people flying algebra near Heathrow. Now, we hear about this all the time, don't we? And how it go, you know, maths is getting into the flight lines of planes, isn't it? You know, so I mean, is maths more dangerous outside the plane than inside the plane? I mean, where would you put maths in or out?
Right.
For maximum
well,
safety?
Just maths is all around us, I'm afraid. It's it'll be holding the plane up outside, but it'll be, my sort of stuff, all the acoustics will be going on inside the cabin, and it'll be governing the design of lots of the components inside the cabin, and even I've got colleagues working on food science stuff who might have helped with the cooking of the poor quality food that you get on the plane. So
it's everywhere. I mean, what you're saying is we've just got to be ever vigilant, and if someone sees some maths unattended, it's best to report that.
I'm not recommending that, really, because I'm going to be in trouble every morning, and I get enough jip from the ticket inspector anyway, so...
All right, well, look, Simon, you've been very helpful. I mean, he's talking about numbers. I mean, it's no coincidence, is it, I think, I'm right in saying. Thank you, Simon, very helpful. No coincidence, though, that the maths being dangerous, and let's face it, the two terrorist incidents that everyone remembers, terrible ones, are made up mainly of numbers, aren't they? 9/11, 7/7. So, you know, maths is very dangerous, and thank you, that's Simon's advice there. And so if you do see some maths unattended, then do make sure you report that to the authorities. You are listening to Talk Radio. If you'd like, if you've got a reaction or a thought on the danger of maths, certainly in flight or on public transport, then do get in touch. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
@Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
It's 1:30, it's Talk Radio. Victoria's got news.
Talk Radio.
A man who murdered a 17-year-old girl in a sexually motivated attack 32 years ago has been jailed for life. Christopher Hampton will serve at least 22 years for killing Melanie Road in Somerset. The 64-year-old father of four was only charged following a DNA breakthrough. Detective Chief Inspector Julie Mackey worked on the case.
The staggering importance of DNA, but for me, the staggering importance was the investigation at the beginning. Because if in 1984 they hadn't have swabbed every one of those 78 blood spots, if they hadn't have meticulously examined everything that was available to them in Melanie's clothing and on her body, we would not have had that evidence available to us today.
Boris Johnson says trust in politics has been corroded because decisions can't be taken in Westminster. The EU Vote Leave campaigner has dismissed claims made earlier by David Cameron that withdrawing from the union would put peace at risk. British police officers are going to travel to the Greek island of Kos to look for new witnesses in the search for Ben Needham. He was just 21 months old when he disappeared on a family holiday in 1991. Hundreds of passengers on a British cruise ship have fallen ill with norovirus. More than a quarter of people on board have fallen ill on the Balmoral, which is on its way to Canada from the US state of Maine. A fortnight before the French Open, Andy Murray has split from his coach, Amélie Mauresmo. They spent nearly 2 years working together. And Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne is going to star as a caveman in new animated comedy by the makers of Wallace and Gromit. He'll play Doug in the film, which is called Early Man. The weather sunny but breezy in northern areas, cloudier in the south with a chance of some heavy and thundery showers, feeling very warm with highs of 24 degrees is more in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria Bourne.
That's okay, John Holmes.
Good, thank you. It's 1:32.
There's a brand new mouth in the morning. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. The biggest breaking news stories, headline-grabbing guests, an outspoken opinion with the man who's waking up the nation.
Total Talk. Essential listening.
Paul Ross is the breakfast boss. Let's bacon roll.
Massive morning radio that's worth going to work for.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Good morning, madam.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking
across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's a time now. That was weird. That was that Paul Ross trail there. Did you hear that?
I wasn't listening to it.
I could see that. It just said Paul Ross in the morning. It still doesn't explain what a full set breakfast is, by the way. But Paul Ross in the morning, worth going to work for. Which suggests <is it not? laughs> that one should just leave the house and go and
anything's going to make you go to work early. It's going to be that.
That's kind of a mixed message for me. That just get out of the house so you don't have to listen.
Worth going. Paul Ross, it's even worse than work. It's not. It's great. Great show. Do listen.
He just realised what he just said then. As an employee of the company, a man's face took... As he was saying the sentence, I could see his face go, oh, why did I say this? Yep. Anyway, it was the BAFTAs, wasn't it, last night? Did you see the...
Yes!
The BAFTAs last night.
I didn't see it, but I read it.
Yeah, BAFTAs. And I was... I didn't watch it at all. Instead, what I was doing was listening to Radiohead's new album.
Because you're cool.
Yeah. I've got an awkward relationship with Radiohead. Right. Actually, once one of my friends genuinely did have an awkward relationship with one of Radiohead, but that's ooh, another story.
Which one?
Jackie. So I was listening to their new album, and I've got a mixed relationship with them, because I often think Radiohead are over noodly pretentious idiots who create music that sounds like R2-D2 being kicked down some stairs, right? But sometimes, you know, they hit, and so the next one, I'm not sure about the current, what's it called, the pool, the moon shaped pool, I'm not sure of it yet, it hasn't grown to me. But what I did notice, of course, was that their video for the first Burn the Witch, which I think is the first single, was a pastiche of the children's television series Camberwick Green.
You don't remember that, Corny,
really?
No.
Well, oddly weirdly, a lot of people obviously watching this video didn't, because online everyone was going, what the hell is this? Yeah. And there was a lot of amusing things where English people were trying to explain it to Americans who had no idea what it was either, but the sort of stop-motion child's animation of Camberwick Green and or Chigley, Cornelius.
Chigley?
Yes.
Don't know what that is, either.
It was just quite funny to watch these people trying to explain it. I'm not going to explain it to you. It's wasted. Anyway, it led me down the path of today's easy Monday pun day. Text in, which is going to be very simply, children's television, for that was the Camber Wick Green, and music, for that is the Radiohead. Camber Wick Green Day. I mean, they're straight off. Look at that, like lightning.
Oh, that's good.
Straight off, like lightning. Danger Modest Mouse. Stanger Mouse is the children, yeah, and Modest Mouse. Have you got one?
Just thinking of one now. Yeah. Give me some warning on this. Arcade Fireman Sam.
There, see?
Ah, yes. That is one.
Cornelius.
Get your head back in the game, mate. A week away.
The Boomtown Rugrats.
Yes, exactly. So, that's today's texting. If you'd like to, if you can be asked, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can just chuck it on the Twitter, can't you? At Talk Radio. Now, in about some time, there will be the news. It'll be at 2 o'clock. As ever, as you know, it will spill out of Victoria's mouth. Most of it will be true, because that's the raison d'etre of the news. However, some of it will not be, and it's that bit we'd like you to supply. We call it Headline Hijack. It is the art of sneaking a made-up story into the 2 p.m. bulletin to confuse those who may be out for lunch and not listening to this bit of it. You can get your made-up stories to us. It's just words in an order that sounds a bit like a made-up news story. That's it. It's as simple. It's words. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Right, what have we got coming in here? Right, okay, thank you for this. Lucy, for the first time ever, a radio station aimed exclusively at dogs is going to open in Reading in September.
I can literally already see where this is going.
Presenters will include dog personalities. Yeah.
I imagine Reading is going to become important in a minute.
More than you think. Dog personalities, Hooch from Turner and Hooch. Yeah. He's doing a full set breakfast. Appropriately enough, it's dogging. It's dogs. The blue Peter dogs, they're all of them, is that? Probably Lucy, is it all of them? Shep, Petra.
Meg.
What?
Meg was the Blue Peter dog when I was one.
Wow. Really? Well, when you were a Blue Peter dog.
When I was a child.
All right. Goldie was one. Yep. Yeah. Other celebrity dogs will be taking no. The Littlest Hobo is going to be on there doing a drive time show.
What was the one from Homeward Bound?
Yep. anyway, remember Reading?
Yes.
Yeah. The station's going to be called Radio Berkshire. Yeah.
You might have missed this, Cornelius, but last week
Lucy said
people have been starting to text in very
complex
setups that end with
a quite poor
joke. Yeah. And it's nice to see that people are continuing that trend this week.
Please carry on. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Any
word you like. Dave, what have you got?
This one actually isn't the aforementioned formula, but this is coming from Simon, who says, following their historic Premier League title, the city of Leicester is set to replace Birmingham as the UK's second city.
Right.
Experts said the change won't be too noticeable, as both cities' teams wear blue and everyone speaks with a funny accent.
What have you got, Cornelius?
According to
David,
a judge has ruled that Britain First has to change its name after failing to come first in anything.
Good. And Sadiq Khan, the new mayor of London.
Ah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, which apparently, in common with all media, we now have to say the Muslim mayor. anyway, Sadiq Khan's mounted the pressure on Katie Hopkins to complete her wager of running through London naked with a sausage up her ass, saying that he will only ever serve one term as mayor if she goes ahead with it. So the gauntlet is thrown down. to Hopkins. Right, it's we got 20, it's 20 to 2, so you've got 20 minutes to get your made-up news story in. One of them has to be in the news at 2 o'clock, masquerading as truth. It could well be yours. 8-7-2-2.
Start your message with the word
at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Same as doing it would you like.
We'll do Lonely Lunch next on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Believe. Believe in yourself. In your talent, your powers, your abilities. Believe you can step up, juggle life with study, keep going. Believe you can do it. Tell yourself it is possible and know you will succeed. 79% of the Open University students we asked said the OU will help them fulfil their career goals. We can help you with yours too, if you believe. Take the first step today by texting OU to 60261 for a free Open University Get Started guide.
Vanbuster now on. Leyland Trade contract matte emulsion 12 litre, just £13 each. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade point members only.
I'm going to be supporting Armed Forces Day because I see the work our boys and girls are doing around the world and I really want to show my support.
I'll be supporting Armed Forces Day because I'm proud of what my granddad did in the war.
I'm supporting Armed Forces Day because it protects our way of life and I want them to be there to look after my grandchildren.
Armed Forces Day is Saturday the 25th of June. There are events going on all over the country. Take part and show your support for our armed forces, past and present. Find out more at armedforcesday.org.uk.
Let's start the meeting with a round of quick-fire questions. Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture supplier invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
By switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spend.
Concur.
Bob, you're the winner. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
A deal's a deal.
Oh.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.co.uk.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Greater Manchester's anti-clockwise M60, struggling towards junction 23 for Ashton under Lyne. Two lanes are out there because of an accident. Traffic on the M6 in Cheshire has been stopped northbound between 19 at Knutsford and 20 for the Lym interchange. That's so an accident can be moved to the hard shoulder. Heavy on Cambridge's northbound M11 past a breakdown between junctions 12 and 13 near Cambridge. There's also queues through Huntington in Cambridgeshire after earlier problems on the eastbound A14. And Hampshire's A31 in Ringwood is queuing eastbound towards the Southampton Road junction because of a breakdown. I'm Joanna Adams.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the Fleet Street firebrand who isn't afraid to shoot from the lip. Supercharged current affairs debate and electrifying opinion with Julia Killer Jewels Hartley Brewer.
Radio that demands a reaction.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Have you ever got to the bottom of why they just shout the word kilojoules in a Tourette's style in the middle of that trial for Julia Hartley Brewer? I don't...
No.
Julia Hartley kilojoules. Okay. Right, it's thing. So, you know today's texting that I mentioned to do
yes.
with children's television and music. Why? Well, because Radiohead's, the video for their new single, Burn the Witch, Radiohead's new album came out yesterday, of course, released in the traditional secretive Radiohead kind of a way. Pretentious. Then the video's got it's a spoof of Camberwick Green, which Cornelius, of course, doesn't remember.
No.
He's 8 years old. Mere 8 years old. Mm. But I've just had a text that just said, oh, the YTS is back from his holiday then.
I don't know what that
See,
is.
See, that I even knew that. I knew you wouldn't even know what a reference to YTS was. Go on, Google it. YTS.
It's a torrenting website,
no,
apparently.
No.
Oh, the youth training scheme.
Correct. There it is. So, I can't remember who sent that, but anyone, someone did. But thank you for that. And yes, yes, he is. But he's not even that qualified, to be honest with you. anyway, oh, it was Roy. Hello, Roy. So, text coming in for children's TV and music. No. Yes. Correct. Good.
Did you forget what it was?
I was just reading something else on the screen. Thing. I can't possibly read that out. Anyway, the Flintstone Roses, says Scott.
Yeah.
The Flintstone Roses, there's one. What else do we have here? Thomas Dolby the Tank Engine. It's a weird laugh, Cornelius.
It's funny.
Okay. Hong Kong Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You've heard of Hong Kong Phooey, then?
I've heard the phrase Hong Kong Phooey said before.
Okay.
But I didn't know it was a children's TV programme.
On Twitter?
Yes.
Right, when you were away?
Yes.
You posted a picture
mm-hmm.
of you with a lady one.
Yes.
Right.
Was it on Twitter or was it in... wasn't it just on our WhatsApp?
I did post it on Twitter as
did
well.
You?
So it, well, it's not even that. It was someone taking a photo. The picture is a picture of someone else taking a photo of me and an Asian person.
Yes.
The Asian lady.
Yes. But what my point is that we all looked at that and went, well, she can't possibly be interested in Cornelius.
Well, you're completely wrong, John.
Really?
Yeah, do we have time? So basically, yeah. I was at the top of the TV tower in Berlin, which is a massive tower. And me and my friends were just sort of leaning against the wall. And then an Asian lady came up.
Making the most of your holiday.
Yeah, is it relevant?
Yeah, it is. And came up and
otherwise,
just
you're just
said,
going down the Sadiq Khan Muslim Mayor route now.
No. And then she just said, oh, sorry, do you mind taking a photo?
Yeah.
And obviously, we went to grab her phone and take a photo of her and the view.
Yeah.
And then she went, oh, no. Can we have a photo with you? And then this lady just started taking a photo with me and three of my friends, so five of us in a row.
Yes.
As if we were, like, celebrities. And then another Asian person sort of saw what was happening.
Yes.
And then asked for a photo. And this lasted about 10 minutes of just a queue of
what?
An assortment of Asian people.
Why?
We have no idea, but it's like after about the third one, me and my friends all clicked and just went full One Direction, like, mode and, like, started really acting as if we're really famous and stuff.
So they thought you were a boy band?
Yeah, we think that's what happened.
Which boy band?
I have no idea. But,
Some sort of Paralympics version of a boy band.
We had to pose for photos for about a good 15, 20 minutes with just an assortment of people. And then just other people getting involved. They're going, oh, they must be famous, and having photos. And then it sort of died down. And then someone came up to me and said, can I have a photo of just you? And obviously, I was like, yeah. And then another 10 minutes of people having a photo of just me, including the image that's on Twitter.
Yeah. Let's be brutally honest about this, was way, way out of your league.
Yeah. But it was her mum who was taking the photo. I put my arm around her shoulder.
Yes.
And this weirdest moment, her mum just went, oh, no, on her waist. And she grabbed my hand and then placed it on her daughter's waist. And sort of, so I had to awkwardly have a photo. But I was still posing, obviously, as if I was Harry Styles. But yeah, it was really weird. And then for some reason, the staff at the tower started treating us really well and got us a round of drinks.
Not the oddest story.
Oh, isn't it? I'm going to find out if Cornelius... Where were they from?
They were from Bali, like most of the people.
Yeah.
They said, so I think...
Nothing much must happen there.
I think talk radio is big in Bali.
Imagine Cornelius was inexplicably famous in Bali.
Like, you know, Prince Philip is, like, worshipped as a god on a certain South Pacific island. It's like that, but with a sort of boss-eyed, Brillo-haired boy. Anyway, speaking of lonely people...
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely.
For it is time for this afternoon's inductee into the Lonely Lunch Club, the Tupperware Hall of Despair. This is where we will invite you, if you're lunching alone for whatever reason, to get in touch and get on the list as we offer to be your virtual friend and colleague. Just to cheer your lunchtime up a little bit, really, and we can chit about this and chat about that. And on the line now, all the way from a place. Hello, who's that on the telephone?
Hello, it's Sean here.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, John. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So, what, Sean? Good. Where are you, and what are you doing?
I'm currently at home, trying to revise and failing.
Right. What are you revising for specifically?
Well, I have a French exam in 2 days, so I'm currently trying to translate a lot of French that doesn't really make sense.
I see.
Not great.
And doesn't it make sense in what way? It doesn't make sense because they're deliberately trying to confuse you, or because you're not good enough?
Because I'm not good enough.
Oh, fine. Oh. Just as long as we, as long as you're clear. Yeah. Good. And why are you lunching alone then? Is it just because of the revision?
Well, yeah, and everyone's out of my house. Everyone else has a life. I'm at home, revising, home alone, and yeah.
Okay, what are you having for your lonely lunch? What are you eating?
I'm having some pasta and some watermelon. Not at the same time. Pasta first, then watermelon.
Okay,
but yeah.
Oh, just plain raw pasta.
No, sorry, cooked pasta.
Yeah, good.
And then I put some chicken and some veg in. Fine. Trying to make it a bit healthier, but yeah.
Did you spend quite a long time doing it in order to just not have to do any revision?
Yeah, well, I thought I was being clever yesterday making it, so I'd save time for revision today.
Yeah.
But I went downstairs and I just spent an extra while preparing it, wasting more time.
Yeah, you've got it. That's very important. So, well, you know how this works. We can basically chat about anything you like. So, you know, if you want to complain about a housemate or if you want to just do weather, we can do. It's kind of up to you. It's kind of, you know, this is the virtual friend and colleague area. So wherever you want to take the conversation, we'll role play it out, Sian. And go wherever you want. So, you know,
the weather is a tempting subject, you see, but because I'm stuck inside when the weather's so nice outside, it makes me a bit envious and a bit sad.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Like, I have this dilemma. I tried rising outside, but the glare on the laptop screen, then I ended up just lying in the sun trying to get a tan.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't very successful, so...
No, well, it's good. I mean, the weather is a good old, good subject for it, of course. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, because people at work will be talking about that. A lot of people will be going, well, what did you do over the weekend? Oh, I had a lovely... I went to in the sun. Did you ever go in the sun? Yeah, I went in the sun. It was really sunny. Oh, great. So that's, you know, we can do that. Yeah, I mean, revising outside, you know, trying to use any kind of screen outside, Sean, never worked. Works.
No, it never works. I don't even know why I tried.
I don't know why, but I think you secretly knew that it wouldn't work, Sean.
You thought,
I'll go and waste some time out there not doing anything.
Yeah, that sounds about right, to be fair.
Yeah, see? Straight in there, yeah. When are your exams?
I have one on Wednesday, one the week after, and my last one is the week after that.
Right, okay. So that's thrice the exam.
I've actually got another exam in Chaucer, where I've got to write an essay about Chaucer and analyse his works.
Interesting. Not in French, surely?
No. In Chaucer.
In Chaucer.
In
Chaucer.
English.
Yeah.
In Chaucer.
Which, are you specialising in a particular Chaucer's tale, or are you, is it broad?
It's all the Canterbury Tales.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. Mm,
yeah.
They're all equally annoying, aren't they, in many ways?
They're all equally boring as well.
Yeah. A lot of metaphor, though, in the Canterbury Tales, of course. A lot of metaphor for life, isn't there? Which still ring true today.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, there is the wife with the four husbands and the five husbands, I guess, and the one she kills. It's quite similar today, I guess, really. Yeah,
it's like
it?
Jeremy Kyle, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah, Chaucer. Well, there you go. Here's what you write in your exam then, right? So this is good, because now we're role-playing that.
Yeah.
Right, so when it comes to your Chaucer exam, what you need to do is speak about how relevant it is, even in today's society, right? And then take the characters from Chaucer, which, of course, are the wife of Bath and so on, you know, and all these people with these fundamental social flaws, and then liken that to an episode of Jeremy Kyle, and imagine what it would be like if the characters from Chaucer were on Jeremy Kyle.
Oh, it would actually make such good television thinking about that.
Actually, you know what? This would be a good episode of Horrible Histories, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would. These Horrible Histories.
Can I quote you in my essay then? With that,
yeah, by all means, do.
Yeah, do a quote. Do like a quote now, and then
like a soundbite.
Yeah, like a soundbite. Yeah.
And then a soundbite. Sound.
Okay. Well, I think it's that Chaucer remains as relevant today as it ever was, for its characters reflect society, much like the larger than life buffoonish idiots on Jeremy Kyle, characters which Chaucer himself would have thought twice about creating. There.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That is actually very very inspiring there. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Sean, have we improved your lunch, though? I mean, that's, you know, we've been helpful, haven't we? We've inspired.
We have.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to anyone for about 6 hours.
There
so
you go.
Great.
And that's the point.
It's actually been great.
That's the point, Sean, of Lonely Lunch. Thank you very much. That's Sean. She's doing Chaucer and French. Not necessarily in that order. If you'd like to join the Lonely Lunch Club, we can chit about this. and to chat about that. It's entirely up to you. You can get in touch, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
And get onto the list, and we will invite you, induct you into the Lonely Lunch Tupperware Hall of Despair. It's 5 to 2. Just gives us just a couple of minutes to find a winner for Headline Hijack, I would think. Let's have a look, see what we've got coming in. Remember, if you've just tuned in about 5 minutes' time, then Victoria will be here with the news, of course. Out of her mouth will come a made-up news story. I'd very much like it. I'd be grateful to you if you could put some words in an order that sounded a bit like the news, and Victoria will spake it. And the point is that it confuses the people who aren't listening to this bit, who might go about the rest of their day believing the untruth that you created. For the rest of the news will, of course, be the news, and therefore believable. Cornelius, what have you got that's come in?
Hi.
Hi there.
This has come in from Danny. He says the Walt Disney Corporation has drawn up plans to buy the entire city of Canterbury.
Yes.
And to turn it into a Disney World. Apparently the plans include buildings to be part of the park that are currently listed in Canterbury, with the cathedral being being modified into a Disney castle.
Good, thank you very much. Anthony Gormley has said, this is from Steve, said that plans are in place to celebrate the Angel of the North's 10th anniversary in 2018 by converting the sculpture into an aeroplane. Because it looks like one, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit.
On its end. Mm. And flying it over the UK. Anthony Gormley said he originally designed the statue's arms as wings, so this was possible. Because if you look at the structure of it, it is actually the dimensions of an aeroplane. So they're just going to tip it like a glider.
Yeah.
They're not going to retrofit engines, are they? They're going to actually...
No.
So if you put the Angel of the North on its side, tow it along the grass behind a plane, and they could charge for rides to sit on it on the Angel of the North United Kingdom glider.
Yeah, it'd be good.
That there is to celebrate its
very
anniversary. Oh, we need a winner, Dave.
Don't we, though, John?
And I know you've been looking through all of the entries.
I've been scouring them, John.
Of course you have. I wonder, is there a winner?
Yes.
That's good news. Who is it?
The winner today, John, is Dermot. Thank you, Dermot.
Dermot. And where, pray tell, does Dermot hail from?
Cowden Beef.
Pardon?
Where?
Cowden Beef.
What is that?
That's in Scotland, isn't it?
That's a food.
I think it's in Scotland.
Okay.
Wait, let me check. Yeah, West Fife, Scotland.
There you go. Well, Dermot in West Fife in Scotland, congratulations. You've got your made-up news story in the news next. It will come out of Victoria's mouth in the next few minutes. Very shortly, today's Work Experience Punditry as we bring you television review and also mystery object. I'll be holding up an object in front of the microphone. You simply have to guess what it is. It's Talk Radio, Monday afternoon. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Some people believe that hybrid cars are expensive. Then again, some people also believe that aliens built the pyramids. UFOs make crop circles. No one's ever won the lottery. The Earth is actually flat. Bigfoot, Nessie and the Abominable Snowman. Oh, and we never went to the moon, which incidentally is a hologram. So, you can't believe everything you hear now, can you? But the Toyota Yaris Hybrid is available with 0% APR representative, £900 towards your deposit and 3 years free servicing. Fact. Finance deposit allowance available when financed flexibly through Toyota Financial Services. 3 years free servicing up to 30,000 miles. Indemnities may be required. Subject to status to over 18s. Terms and conditions apply. Excludes active. Nessie isn't real.
Get it straight from Selco.
Selco.
It's where the trade goes.
Get a real deal from Selco Builders Warehouse on a wide range of trade quality building products. In May, get a real deal on a 6x3 foot sheet of half inch standard plasterboard for only £3.09 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. See even more real deals and thousands of products in stock at selcobw.com.
Get it straight from Selco.
Selco.
It's where the trade goes.
Churchy, I can't do it.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm a car and I'm scared of the road. It's embarrassing, okay? But I just can't leave the drive knowing there's over 1 million uninsured maniacs out there.
If you're hit by an uninsured driver, we'll repair your car and make sure you keep your no-claim discount.
Oh, yes.
Oh, thanks, Churchy. Woohoo! Let's hit the A3079.
Churchill, depend on the dog.
Source Motor Insurance Bureau comprehensive cover and non-fault claims only. Registration number, make and model of other vehicle required. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
And good afternoon to you. It is 2 o'clock. You are listening to Talk Radio and Victoria has got the news. She's here now. Victoria has got the news. It's 2 o'clock. It's Talk Radio.
Thanks, John. Coming up, a man gets life for murder in 1984. Boris says a Brexit won't start World War III. And hundreds on a cruise ship get norovirus.
Talk Radio.
A 64-year-old man has been jailed for life for murdering a teenage girl in 1984. Melanie Rode, who was 17, was sexually assaulted and stabbed repeatedly as she walked home after a night out in Bath. Christopher Hampson, who was eventually tracked down through DNA evidence, has been sentenced to at least 22 years in prison. Detective Chief Inspector Julie Mackay is from Avon and Somerset Police.
He has obviously managed somehow to live with this terrible secret. I have no idea how his conscience has allowed him to do that, but somehow he's achieved it until we found him.
Boris Johnson says leaving the European Union would not cause World War III. The former mayor of London has hit back at David Cameron's claim that withdrawing from the EU could threaten peace in Europe. The prominent Vote Leave campaigner says it's not the most powerful argument he's heard.
I don't think the Prime Minister can seriously believe that leaving the EU would trigger war on the European continent. Given that he was prepared to urge that people should vote leave if they failed to get a substantially reformed European Union.
A restaurant owner has gone on trial accused of the manslaughter of a customer with a peanut allergy. Paul Wilson, who was 38 and from North Yorkshire, suffered severe anaphylactic shock. Mohammed Zaman from the Indian Garden restaurant in Easingwold is accused of not marking a curry as containing nuts. He denies manslaughter by gross negligence, perverting the course of justice and 6 food safety offences. A stomach bug has spread to more than a quarter of passengers on board a British cruise ship. More than 900 passengers are on board the Balmoral as it sails from the US state of Maine to Canada. The ship, operated by Fred Olsen Cruise Lines, left Southampton in April and hasn't been quarantined. Michel Platini has quit as UEFA president after failing to have his ban from football overturned, but the punishment for the undisclosed payment of 2 million Swiss francs from Sepp Blatter has been reduced from 6 to 4 years by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Alex Dibble has more for Talk Radio.
The CAS panel said it wasn't convinced by the legitimacy of the payment, citing 2 reasons. The first, that there was no paperwork, and the second, that it came more than 8 years after Platini's work at FIFA had finished, but just 4 months before Blatter won the 2011 presidential election. Michel Platini has declared the ruling a profound injustice and says he'll continue to fight to prove his innocence in the Swiss courts.
Jason Donovan is leading tributes to producer Reg Grundy. The man behind Neighbours and a string of other Australian shows has died at the age of 92. Donovan says he was lucky to work with the legendary founder of the soap.
Talk Radio national weather.
Sunny but breezy in northern areas. Cloudy in the south with the chance of some heavy and thundery showers. Feeling very warm with highs of 24 degrees.
Bit late for the news, were you?
Yeah, I'm sorry about
what
that.
What happened there then? Having a wee or something? What was it?
No, my bulletin wouldn't print. And then people were asking me questions about something which I don't want to say just yet.
Well, okay, fine. 3 minutes past 2 o'clock. Very cryptic. Cryptic Victoria. Mystery news. Good. All right. Well, you know, try and get here on time. It's fine.
Next time?
Yeah. You know, if you can.
I wasn't that far late. Surely you should be able to pad.
I did pad.
Yeah, about 3 hours a day, mate.
Yeah. here's Ben with some sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon.
All right,
Arsenal
Ben Fletcher.
Striker Danny Welbeck will have a scan later to establish the extent of the knee injury he suffered in yesterday's 2-2 draw at Man City.
Right, then.
Boss Arsene Wenger says he's worried by his condition, with England manager Roy Hodgson naming his provisional Euro 2016 squad on Thursday. It's feared Welbeck could miss the tournament. We'll find out the provisional Wales squad for Euro 2016 today. A 28-man party will be confirmed. Manager Chris Coleman will then announce the final lineup of 23 players on the 31st of May. Burnley will be awarded the Sky Bet Championship title trophy later. They'll celebrate promotion back to the Barclays Premier League with a civic reception at the Town Hall. That'll be followed by an open-top bus parade. Finally, Andy Murray has split with his tennis coach, Amélie Mauresmo. They say it's a mutual decision after nearly 2 years of working together. That's your latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
One.
And finally, to mark David Attenborough's 90th birthday, English Heritage have announced that they've recategorised the broadcaster and explorer as Grade 2 listed. That means that any adjustments to Sir David will now have to be approved by whichever local authority he is nearest to at the time.
Talk Radio.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio, it revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Oh my, get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
So, good afternoon then. It's 2 o'clock. It is Talk Radio. You are listening to it. And today on the programme then, your chance to win a day being bullied by Chris Evans at the BBC. Now, according to reports, the ginger egotist will shout, swear, make you cry, and has been known, apparently, to expose his little ginger downstairs, Chris, to interns and junior producers alike. And if you'd like to be on the receiving end of his temper, then all you have to do is apply for a job at the BBC. These are the easy steps. You apply for a job at the BBC, then attend an interview if invited. After a couple of years, put in a request to work at Radio 2, perhaps answering phones on the Jeremy Vine show. And then after a year or so, when someone who works on the Chris Evans show falls ill or is off because of stress, simply volunteer to fill in. All you need to do if you want to be shouted out by Chris Evans, is wait an hour or so, and before long, the ginger presenter will inevitably kick off. If you've made a small mistake, say mistyped some information or moved a pencil, then you can expect to be going home in tears. For balance, the BBC have denied all of this, so you don't even have to worry about it being public knowledge. Send your entries to this address: Chris Evans Bullying Rumours, Julia Hartley Brewer Competition, Talk Radio, London. You're right, Cornelius.
Yeah.
Fine. It's that time what I just said, but about a minute later than when I said it a minute ago. And it is time for Work Experience Punditry here on Talk Radio in the afternoons. It's a Monday. That means we bring you TV Work Experience Punditry. This is, of course, because we're road testing the next generation of critics and broadcasters. That's what we tell them. In reality, it's because we don't have to pay them. He's got television. It's his first time on the programme. Samir, is it?
Yep.
Hello, hi, welcome. How are you?
I'm really great. It's lovely weather.
Well,
how are you doing?
We'll be the judge of that. The weather is, however, fine. Listen, so what do you do then in real life?
I'm a student at King's College London.
Obviously.
I'm in my second year. I'm studying English language and linguistics.
Oh, okay, fine. All right, good. And how's it going?
I'm loving it, yeah.
Okay. Did you hear our Lonely Lunch Club moments ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was doing French and not getting on with it.
It's so bien. C'est difficile.
No one likes a smart ass. Yeah. what have you been watching rather than working?
I've got three offerings for you this week. So the first one is on BBC Three. It's called Stupid Man Smartphone.
Okay.
And the name, I'll be honest, the name of the programme sounds a bit ridiculous. It is a bit pants. But the whole theory is that now that we've got smarter phones and stupider people, that's where they've got the idea from. I mean, essentially, It's Russell Kane.
That's not a good start.
going to different places, and he's just trying to fit in, try and take part in a couple of challenges, fit in with the local culture and the customs, and just try and get along. Obviously, as you'd expect, things go wrong, and it's just about their experiences. So the first one was in Morocco.
Yes.
And it's Russell Kane tasked with taking a camel across the dry, unforgiving North Saharan terrain. And joining him is the smartphone, an online prankster, Aaron Kraskar.
I mean, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? It sounds exactly like the sort of thing, you know, you would expect from BBC Three, and part of the reason they closed it. Because you just go, oh, we've got an idea, it's a like, travel thing, which is fine, yeah. I'd like to see someone taking a cab. But no, who should we get? Should we get someone who's... no, let's get Russell Kane and that bloke who's an internet prankster. Have we got a clip?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Hi, Joseph, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, so we've been asked to transport a camel from A to B. Is there anything we should be looking for in particular?
Right. What you need to do is, you need to look for a good-looking, strong camel. Make sure it's not lame in any way. Doesn't limp.
One of their front legs has been tied up.
I think that's to stop them running away.
Yeah, well, they've got one leg tied up.
Yeah, that's it, one leg.
Make sure there are no wounds or swellings or growth.
It looks good.
Yeah, the legs look good on both of them.
Which one are you thinking? Is this one here?
On the legs. Get the owner to open his mouth so you can have a look at his mouth with his teeth.
Can we see the teeth, please?
Yeah, look, he's got lovely teeth.
Yeah, the teeth look nice and straight. The tallest one also seems to be the healthiest. I think we found our camel,
The camel, Joseph.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the camel Nathan. Can I call the camel Nathan?
We're going to call it Nathan, apparently. Nathan.
All right. Thank you so much, my man.
Super. Nice talking to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Au revoir.
So in this scene, basically, they're in the market trying to buy a camel because that was the task given to them. They struggle with it. They end up picking one, and then they find out that he's too big to transport. He doesn't agree to get in the van, which is how they'd need to get him to transport across the other side of Morocco.
I assumed they were taking the camel, like...
walking it.
Yeah.
They do end up realising that the car is not fit for wear, so they do have to end up walking in the heat.
Bundle it in the back of a van. That's like producer Dave and his students.
It does seem like a soft option, like an easy way out kind of thing, but they don't manage it, unfortunately. As you'd expect, to be honest. I mean, it's not going to go swimmingly.
So what's the... is it a travel log? Or is it... because the title, Smart Man Stupid... no, Stupid... what is it?
Stupid man smartphone. The theory is that the production team have made sure that their only survival kit is a smartphone. So they're always going to have internet access. They're always going to have signal. And that's how they use that in their best advantage to try and get help. So they start tweeting.
But you can literally, that's not even a challenge, is it?
You can do anything.
No, and that's the whole point. They're like successful teen, you know, social media addicts and things, and you know they appeal to the youth. So essentially, they start. Have you heard of Periscope? So
yes. It's this. I'm not that out of touch. I am, but I have heard of that.
Okay, yeah. So they start live streaming at some point, and they ask their fans, "Oh, what do we do? How do I make a fire out of dried poo?" That kind of thing.
Yes.
And then they try and get feedback from them, and they use that to try and help them struggle with how to get to where they need to go.
Yeah,
you can just order fire on your phone. It's easy.
Just get them to text you some.
Yeah, that's literally what they do.
Yeah, the fire emoji.
Yeah, and then you're fine, aren't you?
They're Googling the whole way through.
But also, wouldn't it be much better if they were in the desert, where you said, where there's no signal?
Mm.
So what if there isn't signal? What, I mean, then what? Then the programme...
well, then they're really screwed.
Then hopefully, that's the sort of last one, where Russell Kane...
they run out of mobile data.
Yeah, exactly. And Russell Kane and the man from the internet, right, are forced in the freezing desert night to cut the guts out of a camel, right, like Luke Skywalker on Hoth, right, and climb in it for shelter and just live in the camel. And where the last shot, as their batteries run out, is of Russell Kane just eating a camel's bowels. And that is a metaphor for BBC Three.
That is harsh.
But fair.
But fair enough.
Yeah, go on.
I think what I really like about it is the production values of it. So you can actually see their live stream coming up on the screen alongside the broadcast piece. And then we see tweets coming up. And they're looking at their phone, reading a tweet. And then we see the big tweet on the screen alongside it. And it moves along with the way they walk and stuff. It's quite cleverly done, the way they've edited it. It's very tech savvy.
Is it?
It looks fascinating. But yeah, I mean, they are going to go to different places. There's another episode where they go to Norway, which will be... I think that might be coming up soon, and it's a whole series. And
what have they got to do there? Get a killer whale across a field.
Gosh. I think one of the things that was difficult about this one was the language barrier.
Yeah.
So obviously they can't speak Arabic. They just know shukran, which is thank you. Their French wasn't on par either.
Listen to you linguistics expert. Just criticising the language.
How many languages can you speak?
But fluently just English, but I did A-level French.
Oh, nice.
So I remember like traces of it.
Mm-hmm. Good. So where else in the series? So they've got Norway, they've got
All kinds, to be honest. They haven't actually revealed some of this stuff, which will be coming out on.
I hope it just always involves transporting an animal across terrain.
Various animals.
Various animals. You know, because then the next one ends with Russell Kane. Next episode, just eating the bowel of a whale as he's hollowed it out to stay warm in the Arctic, Norwegian cold.
Which country would you like them to go to?
Syria.
Yeah. Just leave them there.
Russell Kane
and Zoella.
And Zoella. And the man, and that man, the prankster from the internet, sort of dropped off at the border. Right? And just given a smartphone.
You have to.
And a cat. Yeah. And they've got. Somehow, take this cat, Russell Kane and the man from the internet, across and Zoella. On that one, just put her there, and PewDiePie, whatever his name is, all trying to get a cat across Syria, but with just a smartphone for company, ringing up people, just go, how do I get this cat across Syria?
I think they should tragically end the series by coming back to England and going somewhere in like Slough or somewhere, and that's meant to be like their home ground, and even seeing them struggle back in here in Britain, that would be quite hilarious.
What animal would you give them in Slough?
A cow.
Right, he's got a cow in Slough. And it ends.
Rhymes.
And also, being Britain, right, and you know, they're probably trying to use the cloud and there won't be any signal. And a BT internet or something, trying to log into someone else's hotspot with fun, right, and just trying to get, and they can't, so that in the end, the last shot, as the batteries die and the date is just Russell Kane there having hollowed out a cow in Slough High Street, just climbing in it for warmth with Zoella from the internet, while the man from the prankster just chews down on a cow's udders that he's severed off using the edge of an iPhone 6
that he's award-winning
somehow sharpened to a point. I don't know. Anyway, that sounds like a BBC.
It's a shame you come up with that idea the day after the TV BAFTAs, really. You're going to have to wait till next year now.
Anyway, do you mind hanging around? Because I know there's more TV to review. Good. Okay, you got that Samir with us. He's a work experience pundit today, reviewing television. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's 60 minutes past two. It's Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Let's start the meeting with a round of quick-fire questions. Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture supplier invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
By switching to blank, we now have the tools to give us full visibility into company spend.
Concur.
Bob, you're the winner. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
A deal's a deal.
Oh.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Leo Martino. I'm the guy that bought you the Hedgehog Gutter Brush. I'm here to tell you about our latest clever product, the amazing Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge. It lifts, levels and squares up to 120 kilos. If you fit doors, windows and cabinets for a living, you'll wonder how you ever got on with that one. The amazing new Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge. Pump it, lift it, square it. Available from builders, merchants and stockers nationwide. Hedgehog Easy Air Wedge. Get one in your toolkit today.
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition: to help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's major delays for the M6 in Cheshire, which is currently closed northbound between junctions 19 for Knutsford and 20 at the Lym interchange. There's been an accident there involving a car transporter and a lorry, so a major incident. Queues on the northbound side of the M6 are nearly back towards junction 18. There's also some southbound delays towards and past the scene of this as well. Gloucestershire's A417 through Brimsfield, that's queuing near the Brimsfield roundabout because of an accident. Busy on the A40 in Oxford because of works at the Cutslow roundabout, and roadworks on Kent's A21 Pembury Road causing queues. I'm Joanna Adams.
All right, Jim. Oh. You seem out of breath.
Oh, just.
Impressive.
Ran 5 miles.
Gone 6 myself.
But you're not even sweating.
I didn't do them all at once. I did it bit by bit. I got the idea from Wonga's 3-month Flexi Loan, where you repay in 3 parts. No sweat.
With Wonga's three-month flexi loan, repayments are spread over 3 months to give you some breathing space. That's Wongability. Discover more at wonga.com. Terms apply. Over 18s only. Loan subject to affordability and status checks. Representative 1,261% APR. Warning, late repayment can cause you serious money problems. For help, go to moneyadviceservice.org.uk.
The Brothers Gould. Tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. A seamless transition between tea time and twilight with the legendary Brothers Gould, destined to become the nation's favourite radio family. Tall Tales and Telephone Trouble with the Brothers Gould, featuring Johnny Gould and Ash.
Get caught in two-way family crossfire with me, Johnny Gould, and him, Ash.
You all right, Bubba?
On Talk Radio.
It's a brother load of back chat, bravado and banging entertainment.
Tonight from 7
on Talk Radio, keeping it in the family. With the Brothers Gould.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
20 past 2, Monday afternoon. Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. Just ahead of talking to Samir about more television nonsense. Cornelius, what reactions have been coming in? You can, of course, you know, react. If you've got a reaction, you just found a reaction just lying around the house and you know what to do with it, then we will take your reactions. You can react them in this direction, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can use @talkradio on
Twitter. Start your message with any lured you like.
Any lured you like. What's coming in, Cornelius?
Boring newspaper filler says that it's hotter than some other country than it's usually... That is usually hotter than here.
Yeah. Anything else?
The England rugby team. I'd like to see them try.
Wake me up before you go. Don't leave me like a yo-yo. Hanging's too good for it. Samir is here. And he's got reviews of the television. It's work experience, punditry. It's training the next generation of critics, of broadcasters, of reviewers, with the added bonus that we simply don't have to pay them. Samir, we've already talked about Stupid Man, that's Russell Kane, Smartphone, and that's the BBC Three show where Russell Kane and Zoella have carved the guts out of a killer whale and climbed in it for warmth. That's on BBC Three, with Russell Kane eating its bowel while it was still alive. Samir, what are we talking about next?
This is quite an upsetting documentary. This is Louis Theroux, Drinking to Oblivion. It was on BBC Two, and it was filmed in King's College Hospital in South London.
Yep.
And he visited that. He spent some time there looking at some of the patients and seeing the kind of effects that not just drinking to excess, but drinking to oblivion has on certain people.
Yep.
And the way they try and deal with it. And it's quite upsetting. You know, Louis Theroux is a fantastic documentary maker. He does it really well. He's able to get insight into people's lives and the experiences.
I think he's our best. Mm. I think Louis Theroux, that kind of thing. You know, he has no peers.
I'd agree with you. It was quite interesting on BuzzFeed. I know, not a credible source, but after the show went out, people were on Twitter debating whether he's classified as a national treasure or a bae. And people were saying...
Or a what?
Bae, like before anyone else. BAE. It's youth slang.
Right, to me, BAE just make arms for...
Like, have you not seen tweets like that? Louis Theroux is bae. No.
Is my bae.
Is my bae.
You must know this.
Stop speaking some weird. Look, I don't understand what you.
I hate it as much as you, but. I
don't know what you are.
So that was quite interesting. Everyone was just commenting on the fact that they love him so much, and it was interesting seeing that some people refer to him as a national treasure, and others refer to him as.
What?
So, bae.
Louis Theroux is my bae.
Yeah.
Like, Louis Theroux is my. What does it stand for? Before?
Before anyone else.
Louis Theroux is my before anyone else. What does that mean?
Like, you love him so much, basically.
He's number one.
In
like
what?
Like anything, you're not going to do anything. If he's on TV, you're going to watch it. He's just, you know, you're going to give your time to him straight away.
Oh, I see. No, right, I understand that.
People have that with friends, boyfriends, girlfriends.
I simply don't understand youth speak.
No.
I got confused when Cornelius once said something was sick, right? And then I had to try and work out whether or not that was good or bad.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
What did you say? You said
it was good.
It would turn out to be good. It doesn't make any sense because that's not what sick means.
this was like 5 years ago when that word changed.
Come on, John.
Next thing you'll be saying that wicked is still like an insulting thing. That's, like, oh, that was wicked.
That was so wicked.
The Wicked Witch.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so Louis Theroux is bae. Right, so he's been investigating alcoholism. But it's, I mean, it's an interesting... he does pick good subjects, I think, Louis Theroux. And I mean, what's the programme... Because he can be quite light-hearted, but I'm guessing this isn't.
Yeah, no, not really. There was... No, it wasn't really light-hearted at all,
no,
actually.
Not a lot of laughs in it, no.
He does visit, like, three or four different patients.
Yeah.
And seeing the different reasons for them to have gone into this state. So there was one person, Peter, from South Africa. He's basically drinking because of the sadness of losing his dad.
Yes.
And it was just... A lot of them, like, we all criticise that it was bad choices and it's their being irresponsible. But from this documentary, you could see that actually...
But everyone's got a story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You know, it's a difficult... experiences that they've had through life that's yeah. made them do what they've had to do, and they've tried to drink to sort of numb the pain, and then it's not really helped them in the long run. There was Stuart, who had liver disease, drinking like 4 or 5 pints lager a day, and it was quite interesting. There was so we were filming scenes with the doctor as well,
yeah,
and the doctor trying to explain the situation that they were in. So I think Stuart was told that he, out of the patients that she's seen, 76% of them would only have 3 months to live.
Yes.
And that's quite like a shocking thing to hear, especially, you know, if you're one of those people and you were just sitting there trying to accept and hear that fact and things. And it was just...
Do you think if you watch that programme, I mean, and you watch it, because, you know, there is the problem we hear about with binge drinkers, middle-class binge drinking in homes. So is it the sort of programme that you would sit in front of holding your glass of wine of an evening and just sort of slowly push it to one side? I mean, does it have that effect?
I think it does. I think people would probably watch that and be a bit more aware
yeah.
of how easy it is. You know, it could just be like a relationship breakup or, you know, some financial worries. These yeah. are like life unfortunate experiences that anyone can go through, and to deal with it in this way is not going to be
okay.
helpful.
Well, as I say, Louis Theroux is possibly one of the best documentary makers of our time, if not the best documentary maker of our time, Louis Theroux. So what have you got next?
And finally, The Windsors. This is a light-hearted take on the royal family.
Yes.
It was on Channel 4. Interesting, if you're like a Republican or a royalist, this will...
Which are you?
I like them at the moment.
At the moment. What, this afternoon?
They've been good at the moment. Yeah, they're in my good books at the moment.
Right. When do you hate them?
Sometimes when they just, like, intervene, which they haven't done for a while, actually.
Mm. What, when they're in cahoots with MI5?
Yeah.
The murders.
Hate when that happens, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, right now, obviously, we're all a lot of people in this country are celebrating the Queen's 90th, and they're happy about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the thing. They were saying that the Republicans probably would love it, but the Royalists will hate it.
Have we got a clip of the Windsors?
I think we do.
Have we got a clip of the Windsors? We'll have a clip of the Windsors.
Are you all right?
There's nothing, Wells. It's just, well, sometimes I feel like I don't belong in this family.
What are you talking about? Marrying you was the best decision I ever made.
Even though I'm a gypsy.
Because you're a gypsy.
But are you sure your family were all right with it?
They're thrilled. Although, personally, I do wish you didn't bring back quite so many dump white goods.
There's 12 quid worth of copper in there.
Was that the time? I need to be at the calf. I'm mingling amongst my subjects to find out what they truly want.
And what do they want?
Usually double egg and chips. If I must be king, I'm determined to be the best one I can be.
And you will be. I just wish there were a role for me.
But what you do is vital. Bringing up children. You could help Harry with his upcoming fancy dress charity ball. You'd be invaluable to him, what with being able to read and write.
Oh, that's a great idea. Hey, don't you have to be at the calf?
I'm allowed 3 verbal warnings, and I've only had 2.
Yeah.
So they are quite larger than life characters. It is a sitcom, and they try and impersonate the royal family, and they stretch it so much. So the commoners, being Kate and her sister Pippa, they're made to be gypsies.
Hasn't it all been done before, though? It's kind of the spitting image sort of nailed this.
That's exactly what people have said, that it's like a really bad spitting image.
Yeah.
The writers say that this sort of thing hasn't been done in a while, so that's why they think, you know, because spitting image is what, 25, 30 years ago?
Yeah, but then there's like Dead Ringers, and then there's Rory Bremner's
News.
That Newsoids cartoon.
Yeah, Newsoids was good. This is, it's not original. It's not overly hilarious at all.
Would you rather see, Russell Caine, right, from that other one you talked about a minute ago. Russell Cain and Zoella and Zootropolis.
Yeah.
She's one, isn't she? Zootropolis.
I have no idea.
One of the bloggers from the internet, I think. So Russell Cain, inside the corpse. He's got the camel from the program you were talking about, right? And he's hollowed it out,
right?
Like in Morocco, and he's dragged it to Norway,
okay?
Right on his back, and he's put it into a whale's bigger than a camel, Cornelius, and he's hollowed out a whale, right? And he's pushed the camel into the whale, like a sort of like a gudukan.
No.
Well, at Christmas, you know, like you get bored with turkey.
Oh, a
duck inside a goose.
Bird roast.
That, but with a camel and a whale and a cow and a cat. Mm. And Russell Cain's in all that, in all the mush
under Russell
inside
Cain,
it. He's in there with Zoella from the internet and Zootropolis from the internet, the blogger Zootropolis. And they're eating the bowels of that, watching an episode of The Windsors.
Yeah.
And just despairing of life.
With Louis Theroux commentating it.
Over the top,
yeah.
And Keith Lemon just waving in the corner.
Well, yeah, of course.
And that's the state of television now, isn't it, Smith?
That would be absolutely fantastic.
You've got to rate them all out of a score, out of 10, overall, not individually, just overall.
On average.
Just an average score for this week's television.
6.7.
Fine. Uh-huh. Samir, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Right, it's 2:30. We have a guest of sorts. Coming up next, it's the presenter of Radio 5 Live's Men's Hour. He's an idiot called Tim Samuels. We'll be talking to him about his new book. After the news, it's Talk Radio. Victoria's here.
Talk Radio.
A man's been jailed for at least 22 years after pleading guilty to the murder of a teenage girl 32 years ago. 17-year-old Melanie Rhode was stabbed to death in Bath in 1984. She returned home from a nightclub. Christopher Hampton remained at large until last year when police matched DNA from her clothing to a member of his family on the national database. Melanie's mother, Jean, who's 81, thought she might never know the truth.
I always said if I got hold of him, I'd strangle him or stick a knife into him, and that's how I felt. But I wouldn't even use my energy up on him. I feel that he should be shut up in a dungeon like they used to in the olden days and just left to rot.
David Cameron says peace in Europe is at risk if the UK votes to leave the European Union. But out-campaigner Boris Johnson says it's NATO and not the EU which has ensured peace in our time. A Zaka man has been arrested on suspicion of murder following the unexplained death of a soldier in Brecon. The serviceman from the Royal Gibraltar Regiment was found injured and unconscious yesterday morning and died later in hospital. Andy Murray has split from his tennis coach, Emilia Maresmo, with just 2 weeks to go until the French Open. She's issued a statement saying travel's been a challenge, while Andy says she's been an invaluable part of his team. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been given a kitten to keep himself company in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. She was a gift from his children and even has her own Twitter account. Assange, who is still wanted by Sweden and the US, has been living inside the embassy for almost 4 years. The weather sunny but breezy in northern areas, cloudier in the south, the chance of some heavy and thundery showers. Feeling warm with highs of 24 degrees is more in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria.
It's okay, John Holmes.
Thanks very much, Victoria. That's great.
Thanks, John Holmes.
That was the best one you've ever done.
I don't think that's true.
No, you're right. 2:32, it's Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me, Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail-order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, good afternoon then. It is Talk Radio. It's 2:33. Let's very quickly go to some reaction. Yeah, of course, as you know, we are the home of reaction. You can react in this direction. If you've got a reaction of any kind just lying around, maybe an old reaction still in the garage from the 1970s, you know, the sort of thing... Nigel Farage would have in there. Then do send it to us, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
What's been, who's reacting, Cornelius? What are the reactions?
Something I could have easily presumed happened. Mm. Well, I can't say I'm not surprised. And this has come in from, well, where will they be in 5 years? That's come in from Noah and the Whale.
Yeah, this has come in from Paul. Paul's of smoke, different spelling, Paul's of smoke. Mm. In the air?
Mm.
In the air, pools of smoke? Yes. Just, for example, from a neighbour's barbecue on a hot day? Just pour in the air, just smoke?
What?
Yeah. Hanging's too good for it, isn't it?
Oh, I see, yeah.
Have you seen any of the news today?
Oh, John.
Have you seen any of the news?
Oh, John.
Yeah.
Got up quite early, actually, to catch a glimpse of the news
you
today.
You did that last week, but you missed the news,
missed
didn't you?
The missed news the news today. Got up half an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Saw the end of the news.
End of the news.
It disappeared over the horizon. A little bit of it.
What percentage of the news?
Like 4 to 5%.
It's not very useful, is it? Cornelius, have you seen any news?
Well, John, it's spring and news is in bloom.
Yes.
Isn't it? So, I got a little piece of news fell down and landed in my hair.
Yeah.
And I had it in my hair for the whole train journey. Really embarrassing.
Mate, that is embarrassing.
Did someone not say, excuse me, mate, got a bit of news in here?
No, he didn't.
You look like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's quite complicated, though, isn't it?
Well, I couldn't get my head around it.
Well, allow us to help, because this is where we, in the afternoon, try to distill news down, because we know it's complicated, and we like to make it appear fewer so, by distilling it down to its component parts. And as everyone knows, if you distill news right down to its purest form, you get Japanese poetry. It's five syllables. It's seven syllables, five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Chris Evans accused of exposing himself. He is a flashy git.
The news in haikus. Then 25 to 3 or thereabouts. I am John Holmes. This is Talk Radio, and we promised you hot guest action. Sadly, we cannot deliver that. Instead, at best, tepid sort of soup.
Oh, it's warmed up.
It's been left out, you know, just to go cold.
With a film across the top.
Exactly. Yeah. It's got a meniscus. That's the sort of, we bring you soupy meniscus guest action. Yeah. As we welcome the broadcaster, the journalist.
Yes.
Anything else? I'm now author.
The erstwhile colleague of yours who's slightly trepidatious to be sat opposite you in a microphone.
Tim Samuels, welcome. Presenter of Radio 5's Men's Hour.
Yes.
Among other things.
This is like being on 5 Live, isn't it? It's a similar level of news discourse.
Yes, except that the equipment here is appalling. So this is interesting, because you and I, let's be upfront about this, share a past.
Yes,
we worked together on Men's Hour on 5 Live, which you still do, and I do not.
Well,
it is still going, right?
Well, we've got sport this summer, so we'll see what happens in the autumn.
Oh, yeah. so not then.
Awkward.
Yeah, better change the tense on the back of your book to Tim McNamara's former presenter.
Yes. We've got some stickers ready.
I like Men's Hour. But before we get onto the book and stuff, now, Men's Hour, let's talk, because we met on it, as we said, and I produced the first couple of series.
Yes, I didn't know anything about radio, so live radio. I'm all right with Drafted Radio 4. Can be terribly intellectual.
Yeah.
Because I went to the same school as David Cribb. And we're very
story.
Clever.
Oh, dear.
And so we had to get somebody in who apparently knew something about radio entertainment values.
Yeah.
Came to your door. And you were the producer.
And the cheapest option available, I think, possibly. So, look, let's talk a little bit about... these microphones sound rubbish, don't they?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Maybe it's because your headphones are actually on.
Put your headphones on, too.
You might have to do that. See, again, it's like I'm being produced by you.
This is unbelievable. So, that's better already.
Yeah,
so what happened there was we were getting feedback from your headphones that you weren't wearing going down the microphones and sounding really weird, but now it sounds all right again.
You told me this 5 years ago, I'd have been a better broadcaster.
Well, I did, and you aren't. You were literally unteachable. Yeah. Anyway, so men's hour. Yes. You've always been interested in men.
Very, very interested in masculinity. Yes. I worked briefly at GQ in the late 90s before becoming a bit of a stiff and joining the BBC.
Yeah.
And felt that men's media was sort of stuck there and hadn't moved on. I thought, well...
Was this post-Lad Mag, though?
Lad Mag was sort of still clinging on. And I thought, well, there's nowhere that actually speaks to men that I know them, because not everyone I know is interested in watches, bikinis and cars, apart from Dave Cribb.
Yeah.
So...
and students.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought maybe there's a space for something else. And petitioned for about 5 years and eventually said, okay, you can have an hour.
Yeah.
You go.
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, we pitched it at the time. Well, you pitched it at the time, to not least me, as Woman's Hour, Ready for Woman's Hour, Naughtier Younger Brother.
Yes.
Which then we created this whole weird analogy about how we were going through its knicker drawer or something.
Yes. I think it became Woman's Hour, but with less testosterone.
Yeah. Phew. Yeah. That's more or less it.
Yes.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because you kind of, I think it's, the book is more timely, which we'll talk about, as I say, but it was a bit ahead of its time because there wasn't really an audience of men wanting that kind of programme. Is that fair? As we found
you
very say, quickly.
Are you saying our view? No one ever told me the listening figures, funny enough. Now you're breaking the news to me.
Yeah.
When we first came out, the reaction was, what the hell? Why do you need this? And we were kind of roundly pilloried before even being on air. I mean, afterwards, it's understandable, but to be pilloried before.
Yeah.
And then other people followed suit. So the Telegraph launched a men's section, Huffington Posted, the South Bank doing men's festival.
Yeah.
And it's actually, people have actually said, well, yeah, you're actually onto something there. Yeah. You'd have thought.
Yeah. Do you think that, I mean, did you stumble into it or did you... I mean, you'd been planning this for a long time, right? Because you thought there was a gap in the market for... thought men, what, were unfairly...
Yes, I thought we were being unfairly boxed into a media corner of being daft and just caring about watches.
Yes.
And that didn't comport with the men I knew around me who had a lot more to say.
Yeah.
So I felt for a long time that men didn't have anywhere in the media that was serving the modern man in that kind of post-lad, I've got something to say, I'm a bit more emotionally nuanced.
Yeah.
I can even write a book about adoption.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk more. We're going to come back and talk about this because the book's out. It's called Who Stole My Spear? Let's find out who stole your spear as we talk to Tim Samuels on Talk Radio in the afternoon. I'm John Holmes. It's 20 to 3.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Your perfect hotel stay shouldn't mean worrying about the cost of an email. Unlike some hotels, at Hampton by Hilton, emailing, profile updating, downloading, browsing or blogging on our Wi-Fi is included in your stay. And when you book direct at Hampton.com, you'll also enjoy our best price guarantee. Booking somewhere else? You could always pack a carrier pigeon. Hampton by Hilton. Refreshingly different. Visit Hampton.com for terms and conditions.
Some people believe that hybrid cars are expensive. Then again, some people also believe that aliens built the pyramids. UFOs make crop circles. No one's ever won the lottery. The Earth is actually flat. Bigfoot, Nessie and the abominable snowman. Oh, and we never went to the moon, which incidentally is a hologram. So, you can't believe everything you hear now, can you? But the Toyota Yaris Hybrid is available with 0% APR representative, £900 towards your deposit, and 3 years free servicing. Fact! Finance deposit allowance available when financed flexibly through Toyota Financial Services. 3 years free servicing up to 30,000 miles. Indemnities may be required. Subject to status to over 18s. Terms and conditions apply. Excludes active. Nessie isn't real.
To show how tender the pulled pork at Subway stores is when you cook it for 7 hours, we've stretched this message into 7 hours.
Taste the mouth-watering, amazingly succulent pulled pork covered.
Or if you can't wait that long, get to Subway to enjoy the slow-cooked pulled pork sub now with your choice of sauce. The pulled pork sub at Subway. Cooked slow, eaten fast. Available until 5th of July while stocks last. Participation may vary. See in store for details.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's major delays for the M6 in Cheshire, which is currently closed northbound between junctions 19 for Knutsford and 20 at the Lym interchange. There's been an accident there involving a car transporter and a lorry, so a major incident. Queues on the northbound side of the M6 are nearly back towards junction 18. There's also some southbound delays towards and past the scene of this as well. Gloucestershire's A417 through Brimsfield, that's queuing near the Brimsfield roundabout because of an accident. Busy on the A40 in Oxford because of works at the Cutslow roundabout, and roadworks on Kent's A21 Pembury Road causing queues. I'm Joanna Adams.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on the hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
It's going to be awesome.
Late Night Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, good afternoon. It is quarter to the hour of three. We're talking to Tim the Samuels off of Ready Five Lives Men's Hour and so on and so forth. He's written a book. But before that, of course, we need to find out what the people think. And we're not going to find out what the people think because what the people think isn't ready. Yeah. So it's fine. Thought it was. It's not. Mm. Doesn't matter. We'll talk to Tim instead then. Mm. All right, Tim. So let's talk about the book. Who stole my spear? Who stole the spear?
I think it may have been John Harvey Kellogg, the founder of Cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, this is because he... to prove I have read your book,
very good. I thought I'd caught you out.
Not at all. No, he invented cornflakes suppress the libido. Is that right?
Yes, he was a very big Victorian anti-masturbation campaigner.
Yes,
he thought that there were telltale signs of masturbation, most of which Dave is currently exhibiting. Yeah. Look at him. And
luckily, just the signs, not the actual.
Yeah. Yeah. And he thought it was important to suppress that. So he actually thought, what can I come up with that would make people eat something so bland in the mornings, it will dampen their libido?
Yeah.
And not content with that, and cornflakes was born, and not content with that, he also played around the idea with having wire suturing device, which was kind of like a sort of fun toy you get inside the cornflakes packet.
Right. So is this where the tradition of toys in syrup comes from?
Yeah.
I mean, in my day, it was just a frisbee or something. But I mean,
a suturing penis retention device was all the rage in Victorian England. An associate of his also wanted to develop a device that was worn, which would ring a bell whenever the man developed an erection.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Okay. Fine.
So,
it's very odd in sort of area for a man, you know, to repress libidos, yet he invents something which it's, you know, you can't even enjoy without splashing milk on it. Well, I think that's a really kind of weird...
And then became crunchy nuts. Yes.
Kind of a weird thing. So where do we go from there? We touched on masculinity and why you think we've got this area that we're being suppressed or something. But have you just made this up? Are we really? I mean, because we're still the dominant.
Yeah, so my thesis, sorry to lower the tone of your show with a word like that, is men are dominant, you know, there's no doubt about it. We've got 95% of CEOs, we're, you know, majority of government heads, ministers, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, so some men are doing great and, you know, 1% and all that doing really, really well.
Yeah.
But a lot of individual men are having quite a tough time out there, which is borne out by violence and prison and mental health rates and men... driving Donald Trump to power, who are angry because they haven't got jobs and are economically down on the mobile. So it's, yes, we're dominant, but a lot of individual men are struggling,
right.
I would say.
Now, no offence.
Right?
By which I
already
mean,
taken.
I mean, but you are not the man's definition of a man.
Right. Right?
You are a man who embraces girly yoga.
Yes. Almond milk.
Yeah.
Unsweetened.
You do that.
Yeah.
And you think mindfulness is a real thing. I mean, you can't, you know, you're not that definition of a man.
No.
But what you're saying is, though, surely that is good, because that's exactly where we should be. Or should it be a mixture of both, of sort of testosterone?
Well, I would say I need to have more kind of tribal stuff in my life, you know. I probably need a family. I probably need to go to football more. I probably need to see my mates more. Get good, you know, do martial arts.
But having a family and going to see your mates more and going to the football are two traditionally opposing areas, are they not? Because one would say, so I'm married, I've got kids. I'll just be in the pub with my mates, being tribal, which would get frowned upon.
But if you then say, and by the way, me spending time once a week with my male friends is going to boost my immune system and help me live longer,
yeah,
you might be better off. And if, you know, it's a swap, you know, your missus gets a night with her mates as well. But it is, you know, male company is something which I think is a need rather than a nice must have every now and again.
Yeah.
There's something around being with your male friends which lightens the load of life.
Yes, I would agree with that. And does it? But that, do you think that goes back then to sort of hunter-gatherer stuff?
Yes, I mean, yeah. I mean, until very recently, we spent all our day with men. You know, the women weren't in our education, they weren't in our workplace. In the evenings, we didn't even bother to go home for childcare. So it's until very, very recently that we didn't spend most of our days with men.
Yes.
Now, well, I mean, you do, but, you know, with Dave.
Yeah, and Cass. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, there are women on the other side of the glass, aren't there?
That's correct.
But yeah, no, so but it's something which I think we are kind of programmed to.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, why does this? Where does it, your interest in the area of masculinity come from? Because again, reading your book, you get a sense of your you growing up and your past and everything else. And you had that. Was you about 13, I think, when your mum left your dad left your stepmom?
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
So that comes across as quite a traumatic moment in your life. So you move from what you describe as a posh area of Manchester to a terrace house somewhere else in Manchester.
Yeah.
But it altered things. And you talk about your dad's relationship with you and stuff. Mm. Is that where this interest comes from?
I think. So. I mean, I think it's. Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I guess, in a male household for most of the time because my mum had died, my dad remarried, divorced. So most of the time it was me, my dad and my brother. So yeah. I guess the kind of the stuff that happens to you as a kid gets hardwired and you end up writing a book about it. Which reminds me of another book I'm currently holding in my hand, The Portraits of an Idiot as a Young Man by John Holmes, which may or may not explore your childhood. So yeah, I guess, you know, the stuff which has been buried, sort of planted in us as kids intellectually flowers later on, maybe.
Yeah.
Have you managed to get a plug for your book into this without even doing it yourself?
I didn't do it.
That's impressive.
It. Yeah, my own book. Which
I thought it was the quid pro quo.
Yeah, so it's very fair. Well, I'll come on Men's Hour if it comes back.
Yes.
And when the paperback's out in September, by the way. That's good. So is masculinity then, I say outdated. I mean, it just feels like in this sort of modern world of certainly diversity and feminism and all the rest of it, which people would traditionally say, well, look, there are reasons for diversity, there are reasons for feminism, because it's all about punching upwards. Whereas it seems odd, does it not, and people would probably say this to you, whatever you argue about men is always punching downwards because we're that dominant thing. And, you know, is it...
Yeah, I mean, I think It's about breaking up men as a big block. I mean, for a start, this isn't anti-feminist. It's not anti-diverse. You know, it's all, you know, it's saying we can actually be better together. I didn't mean to say that phrase. It sounds a bit political. Men and women can help each other. It's not a kind of zero-sum game. But I guess in the modern economy, a lot of men are losers. You know, if you look at the, you know, the collapse of factories and industries and blue-collar men who can't get jobs and can't get women because women don't want them because they've got nothing to offer them.
Yeah.
Then those men aren't, you know, they're not in a great place, you know. You know, there are winners and losers in the economy. I guess post-feminism, middle-class women have won or been winners. Blue-collar men have lost. And when that happens, that causes problems. You know, it drives people to radical politics. You know, if you look at the bedrock of Donald Trump's support, it is these blue-collar, white, male men who had a sense of entitlement that the world was going to be theirs, can't get a job, can't make ends meet, seeing their jobs go abroad. And their natural reaction is, well, let's blame immigrants, let's blame women and political correctness, let's blame trade deals. And Trump, for them, represents this kind of, like, hyper-male figure of, you know, almost like daddy's here to fix it.
Yeah,
and look at me, and I can say what I want about women and immigrants. And the more offensive he is, the more he taps into this kind of blue-collar male anger.
So do you think, though, that could translate? I mean, is there enough... Are there of men out there with that? It's in America we're talking about at the moment, but generally, that's kind of the next big movement waiting to happen. Because often see this begin sort of quietly, don't you?
Yes. Then? Well, if you look, you know, downwardly mobile, lower middle class were the bedrock of fascism in the 1930s. And if you look at some of the far right and far left movements in Europe, then, you know, if you look at the kind of Spanish unemployment for young men over there or in Greece, or in places like that, particularly at a time when immigration is such a big deal in Europe, I think that's quite a vulnerable group to have. You know, men who are not feeling like men, who can't make ends meet. I think that's a really worrying political thing. And, you know, to dismiss it as all masculinity is to kind of overlook what you know, what's happened in the past. And also, I think, you know, some of these guys that go out there and join ISIS
are looking for that sense of belonging that they might have had as a man before. Mm. And, you know, the guy who quits Portsmouth Primark to go out and with his band of brothers, and they come up with a daft name for themselves. One of them came back because he was put on underwear washing duty, which is kind of funny. But it wasn't the kind of the holy war that he was expecting. He got to Syria and said, "All right, you're washing Grundy's." But there's something about, you know, them going out with a band of brothers and being men and not working on shop floors or on shops.
Well, we've done politics. Let's talk about your sex life. But it comes across, you come across in the book as well as a sort of slightly desperate, lonely man.
Yeah.
And I know you, so I know that's true.
Well, slightly is quite nice, but I thought you toned it down.
Yeah. I did, yeah. But does that change the game, though? This whole, because, you know, when I was in the dating game, you don't, all these Tinders and apps and all of these things didn't exist, which, you know, and you had to go and work to meet people you wanted to get off with. But now, and you've lived through that, but now, and remain single throughout it. But now you've got all these apps to make it simple. And I mean, are you fully embracing that as a man? Is a man, can a man stand up and go, "Yes, I will embrace this"?
I think I embraced, overdid it, developed RSI in my thumb, and have quietly retired from it.
Yeah,
I think you know, as a man,
there's a good bit in the book where you do list, go through terrible dates.
Yes,
where you sort of say what happened in each of these dates, which is. But I guess people's experience is going to be much the same.
Yeah, you have absolutely no idea who you're meeting, and I hit a run of racists, which is sort of ironic.
Is that who you attract?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it's kind of people who just think, another one, I can get rid of him. You know, it's kind of like the final solution, not quite sort of part two. If only I'd been on a date with Ken Livingstone. No, so, but you know, I mean, I met people who were like, you know, halfway through a date, sort of would declare to me, "Oh, I don't like black people," or I.
And they'd say that on a date.
I don't like immigrants leaving Syria, and I'd be like, "What do you think you're talking to?" You know,
yeah,
I'm obviously a bleeding liberal, and having to literally walk out on a date.
Was this first date chat?
Yes. First date chat.
Of course, it would be with you. Yeah.
I think
there's a second. Yeah. First base with Tim is basically a detailed, nuanced discussion about immigration in Syria. That's third base.
Yeah. I found it quite arousing. And sort of. But, you know, you have absolutely no filter on who you're meeting online. And as a man, it's just limitless choice. And I think we need parameters. I think the idea of, well, there's always somebody else out there, there's somebody else, makes it really hard.
Yeah.
To hang up your boots.
So what do you do with... Because do you find that people come to you... God knows why they would. But people come to you with that, you're sort of... Well, you're a thinking man. Mm. You do them all. Do they come to you for advice, Tim? Do they?
I do excellent advice for friends, but terrible self-advice.
Yeah.
I'm excellent. You know, if you've got anything now that we need to talk through...
Well, look, Cornelius, right? Let's bring him into the chat. Because Cornelius is a good example of a young man. He's not even in the... not anywhere near the prime of his life. He's just... And he's... Look at his eye. He's not attractive, is he? And his mum taught him to French kiss. Right? This is what we do. She did. He was going on a date, first date, and at the bus... She took him to the bus stop down the road. And he said, "Mum, I've never kissed... I haven't really kissed a girl." And she taught him at the bus stop... Mm. Out of French kiss with tongues, right?
Was it good?
This didn't happen, did it? Because it's not true.
It is true.
John just made it up once.
I know John's prone to exaggeration and hyperbole, but that seemed entirely without any recourse to lying to me.
Yeah. And just one look at him. But, you know, he's just going out there into the world, you know, and he's a virgin and stuff.
No.
And how... What advice would you give to a man? Because there'll be a lot of people like Cornelius listening. Mm. You know, they haven't got lives and much to do or anything. You know, what advice would you give him to man up in this modern day and age?
Cornelius, I would say one of the main things is that when you work in a place where there are people with higher status around you, you're like, just like a vervet monkey. Your serotonin and your happiness adapts to that as well. So I'm afraid. Being in the same room as John and Dave all day, you're going to have quite low serotonin levels. You're going to feel like the picked-upon monkey. So my best advice would be to go and find some other monkeys who are going to treat you nicely.
That's the talk sport, people. Yeah. that's Alan Brazil. Colin Murray.
So I should change my job.
Well, you know, not necessarily the whole profession per se, but I would maybe your colleagues...
Yeah, no, I have been looking.
So. Yeah. If you need a hand with your CV, I'm really good at fonts.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I can do that.
Do you work at Five Life?
Well, maybe not anymore.
until this interview. Yeah. I think the...
Can you take a CV there?
I think the Now Show might be looking for people.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm above that.
Thank you very much, Tim, for coming in.
Thanks, John.
Tim's book, Who Stole My Spear, is out now. It is nowhere near as good or as funny as mine, which is called Who, an art, Portrait of an Idiot as a Young Man, also available on Amazon. Perhaps we could do a two-for-one deal with us, and then we can sort of split the... that's for you, that copy of mine,
John.
Way,
it's me. It's got endorsements from Miranda Hart, Danny Wallace, and Hugh Dennis.
That's right.
Have you worked with any of these people?
No, looks like yours has got.
Who've I got?
From Louis Theroux, David Baddiel, and what's his face? Alan de Botton.
Helen Fielding.
Yeah. Who've you've worked with? Yeah.
Who wins on the blagger quote from the friend game?
I don't know. It's hard, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a score draw, I think, that one.
It is, yeah. But you've got Louis Theroux, I've got Miranda Hart. Fair enough. Tim, lovely to see you.
Thanks, John. Good stuff. Pleasure to see you.
Who Stole My Spear? Tim Samuels is out now. The big debate is coming next. It's just coming up to 3 o'clock. It's Talk Radio on a Monday afternoon.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
What do I really want from life?
I want to see the world, find some real adventure.
I want to make a difference, do something that actually matters.
I want to see what I'm made of, properly make the family proud.
I want to master a new skill, a new challenge. Could even earn myself some extra cash. But who's got time for that?
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 You do. For as little as 19 days of your year, you can become a better you. Search Army Reserve. Army. Be the best.
Vanbuster now on. Leyland Trade contract matte emulsion 12 litre, just £13 each. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade point numbers only.
The nation decides. Is it red sauce or brown sauce? Burton's Fish and Chips have created two tantalisingly tasty great new British flavours, but only one must prevail. Try our red sauce and brown sauce snacks today and vote for your favourite flavour, bagging the chance to pack it a whopping £10,000. The Great British Battle of the Sauces, red versus brown. Brought to you by Burton's Fish and Chips. Find us on Facebook and vote now.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you to each and every one of our customers. And what better way to say thanks than offering you a great deal, like 20% off your next service. So get down to your local QuickFit today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Oh, good afternoon to you. It's Monday. It's just after 3 o'clock. It is Talk Radio. Victoria's got the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Amadra jailed after 30 years. Boris denies Cameron EU war claims. And Timberlake will perform at Eurovision.
Talk Radio.
A man who escaped justice for more than 30 years after murdering a teenage girl has finally confessed and gone to jail. Christopher Hampton will serve at least 22 years for stabbing Melanie Rhode in Bath in 1984. The father of four was only arrested last year when he was asked to give a DNA swab. Gary Mason, a retired crime investigator at Avon and Somerset Police, took the sample.
Bearing in mind he's a man who knew that me taking that swab would result in identifying him as the person who had left the DNA at the scene, I'm just amazed at how little emotion that he showed.
The Prime Minister says Britain needs to stay in the EU to help fight the Islamic State group and to help keep the peace on the continent. David Cameron has warned that closest cooperation with European countries is not an optional extra given the dual threats of IS and Russia. During a speech in London, he said that the UK's history is as important as it is now as it was 70 years ago.
What happens in our neighbourhood matters to Britain. That was true in 1914, in 1940, in 1989, or you could add 1588, 1704 and 1815. And it's just as true in 2016.
But Boris Johnson, who's part of the Leave campaign, has rubbished the claims, calling them bogus. A second man has been held on suspicion of the murder of a soldier in Brecon. The serviceman from the Royal Gibraltar Regiment died in hospital after being found injured and unconscious in a street yesterday morning. The chief executive of Barnet Council is leaving after a mistake left many people in the area unable to vote in the London mayoral election. A statement has been issued saying it's a mutual decision between the local authority and Andrew Travers. Workers who say they were blacklisted by big construction companies have won a share of more than £10 million compensation. The firms denied the blacklisting charge but admitted a secret vetting system which used a list which contained personal information such as political views, trade union activities and even personal relationships. And Justin Timberlake is going to perform at this weekend's Eurovision. The superstar won't be competing in Stockholm though. He'll take to the stage for a performance during the song contest interval.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Here we go.
Sunny but breezy in northern areas. Cloudy in the south with a chance of some heavy and thundery showers.
Feeling very warm with highs of 24 degrees.
Thank you, Victoria. Great. Good. It's 3 minutes past three. Ben's got the sport now on Talk Radio, live from a helicopter that's being attacked by dragons.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Arsenal striker Danny Welbeck will have a scan later to establish the extent of the knee injury he suffered in yesterday's 2-2 draw at Man City. Boss Arsene Wenger says he's worried by his condition, with England manager Roy Hodgson naming his provisional Euro 2016 squad on Thursday. It's feared Welbeck could miss the tournament. We'll find out the provisional Wales squad for Euro 2016 today. The 28-man party will be confirmed. Manager Chris Coleman will then announce the final lineup of 23 players on the 31st of May. Burnley will be awarded the Sky Bet Championship title trophy later. They'll celebrate promotion back to the Barclays Premier League with a civic reception at the Town Hall. That'll be followed by an open-top bus parade. Finally, Andy Murray has split with his tennis coach, Amélie Mauresmo. They say it's a mutual decision after nearly 2 years of working together. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
There's Ben with the sport there being attacked from the sport there being attacked by the helicopter being attacked by the dragons.
Talk Radio.
Right, good afternoon. It's 4 minutes past three.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
Where do we begin?
John Holmes.
Welcome back, Mr. Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Okay then, you are listening to Talk Radio on the radio. I am John Holmes, and today on the programme then, your chance to win a day being bullied by Chris Evans at the BBC. Now, according to reports, you've probably seen this, the ginger egotist swears, he swore at people, he's made them cry, he's exposed his little ginger downstairs, Chris, to interns and junior producers alike. If you'd like to be on the receiving end of it all, then stay tuned, because this is what you have to do. Apply for a new job at the BBC. Attend an interview if invited. After a couple of years, put in a request to work at Radio 2, perhaps answering phones on the Jeremy Vine show. And then after a year or so, when someone who works with Chris Evans falls ill or is off because of stress, simply volunteer to fill in. Then all you need to do is wait an hour or so, and before long, the ginger presenter will inevitably kick off. If you've made a small mistake, say you've mistyped something on a running order or moved a pencil, and you can expect to be going home in tears. For balance, the BBC have denied all of this, so you don't even have to worry about it being public knowledge. Send your entries to Chris Evans Bullying Rumours, Julia Hartley Brewer Competition, Talk Radio London.
Talk Radio.
Right then, it's time for the big debate. So then, everybody's talking about the big story today, of course. If you listened to Julia Hartley Brewer earlier on, then she talked of nothing else. And I imagine Sam Delaney will be covering this later on as well here on Talk Radio. It's the big news. Pub evacuated in Jarrow as glass washing machine catches light. This is shocking. Sorry, actually, 8 firefighters from South Shields Fire Station arrived to find the manager had already turned off the electricity supply to the kit, which had put out the fire. So, and about 25 customers were outside. They were evacuated. It was an electrical fault in a glass washing machine. That's not, to be clear, a washing machine made of glass. It's a glass washing machine. The machine, which was left damaged by the smoke, was moved into the yard. And that's the big story everyone's talking about. The Jarrow pub evacuated as a glass washing machine catches light. But, well, it has prompted debate because I've got someone on the telephone now who's phoned in to Talk Radio 08444444444. And oddly, he's against the notion of light. I think it's Matt. He's on the telephone. Matt. No, it's not. Sorry, it's Andrew. Andrew's on the telephone. Andrew, you think there's too much light?
Yeah, hi there, John. Yeah, I'm absolutely sick and tired of all this light everywhere, the constant, relentless streams of light that we seem to somehow welcome into our life, our lives. Science has been very clear. Light is damaging to your eyes. It risks blindness.
Yes.
And it also causes the objectification of women. Because light bounces off them, men start judging them, and suddenly we have a completely unequal society. Yeah. It could all be solved with a bit of darkness.
No, you're absolutely right as well, I think. And it's the same with racial problems, isn't it? Because, you know, people will often discriminate on the grounds of race as soon as looking at someone. If there was no light bouncing off people or things, you're absolutely right, it would end discrimination at a stroke.
Stevie Wonder once said he couldn't understand what racism was all about because he couldn't see, to him, everything was darkness. And I think that's just so true. Racism is completely caused by light, as well as probably every single war of the last 200 years caused by light. So, you know, I think you'd be a fool to argue in favour of it, frankly.
Well, let's see if Matt in Canterbury is feeling the fool. Matt, he's come up with a very compelling argument there, hasn't he? That without light, if we lived in darkness, we would see the end of racism.
Well, I mean, that's nonsense, really. I mean, you know, you need light. Light is everywhere. You know, light is... There might be some negative side effects that people can, you know, trounce out, you know, related to light. But light is huge. It, you know, it's almost on a par with Minions.
Yeah.
It's incredibly popular. Like, and without light, we wouldn't even be able to see the Minions that are indeed more popular than light itself.
Yes.
You know, I get the argument, you know, it's going to solve racism. But people, if it's just dark, people are just going to hate people for the smell. You know, people are going to will become, you know, people are just terrible. So getting rid of light isn't going to change that.
No, you're right as well, because if you take away one of the senses, which in this case would be the ability of sight, because everything would be in complete darkness, then it enhances other senses, doesn't it, Andrew? And that he's right. People would become smellist.
No, I don't think that's fair at all. Actually, the main problem with visible light is that it stopped us from embracing other aspects of the light spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum, like gamma rays.
Yeah.
And if we finally did away with visible light, maybe we could start enjoying gamma rays a bit more. They've fallen very much by the wayside, very much out of vogue lately, but I think a little bit of gamma ray wouldn't do us any harm at all.
Would you advocate the rounding up of... I mean, you're talking about natural light, I'm assuming, from the sun. I mean, I'm just wondering about, you know, animal, like glowworms, bioluminescence, glow. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. They need to go. And we do need to, you know, be cold badgers because they're dangerous.
Yes.
Glowworms equally.
Yeah.
If one of them gets in your eyes, you will go blind. And that's the problem with glowworms. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there's, you know, other issues with light. Vampires for years have been completely abused by the populace at large, who are obsessed with light, and it's forced vampires very much underground and into hiding, and that's completely unfair. We need to end the holocaust of vampires that's plaguing our society. Free the vampires.
Matt, free the vampires.
Well, I mean, they are free. They're just nocturnal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's the trade-off there? You know, we have the day, they have the night. I think that's perfectly fair.
Yeah.
You know, and as for, you know, glowworms getting in the eyes, or people, you know, people looking into the sun, getting blinded. Good. We need to know who the idiots are, because whoever's up to that sort of nonsense, you know, Icarus, he could have had kids, and there would be more Icaruses around now if we didn't have light and the sun.
Icari.
Putting that fool to death.
I don't think it's an
important aspect of life.
Matt, I don't think you've met a single vampire, because I've been out there and I've talked to them, and some of them, they just go through so much, and people are obsessed with light, constantly shining light around, bouncing it off things, and do you know what? It's tough for them, and I talk to them, and I speak to their families, and some of them have lost their jobs, and they've lost their homes, and they've lost their graves, and they can't do it anymore, and do you know what? If you want to perpetuate that, Matt, then I don't know what sort of a person you are, but I don't think
you should be
allowed to see the light of day.
This is an issue of vampire awareness. I'm not here to quarrel about vampire awareness. I just see the benefit of light. There is a lot of positive to be got out of light. And I'm sure vampires see that too. They would have felt that before they became vampires. You know, think of all
Think of all the things, the joy people have had from like the songs. What are you going to do about the only Doors song you can actually sing along to? How are you going to sing that? What are you going to say? Do you, you know, Relight My Fire? Are you saying you hate Lulu and Take That? Because frankly, I cannot accept this.
If you want to talk to me about light music, Nate, we're going to have to talk about Razorlight. Because their second self-titled album gave rise to the whole genre of landfill indie, which for me was complete nonsense and has ruined the UK music landscape, you know, really for almost a decade now.
Okay. Well, Razorlight's a tough one. What about light entertainment? You know, have you got a problem with that? Wish Bruce Forsyth had never been born? Are you telling me you wish Bruce Forsyth was dead?
Forsyth wasn't here. I wish Anton Deck weren't here. I'm fed up of light entertainment. I want heavy entertainment. I want all entertainment to be lead-based.
You've got heavy entertainment. You've got heavy entertainment. Your friends are vampires. Surely that's entertaining enough.
Gentlemen,
you've got plenty.
Let me just bring this round a little bit here. We've got, someone's just texted in just saying, what about blindfolds? Is this whole anti-light movement, which I think is obviously talking to you here, Andrew, is just put about by the pro-blindfold lobby? You know, you're saying you're in their pockets, and then you're saying where it's all so dark. That's just coming. I mean, let me put that to you straight. Are you part of this pro blindfold lobby?
No, I'm not part of any pro blindfold lobby. Okay. I'm not sponsored by any campaign organiser in favour of blindfolds. I understand the importance of blindfolds. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if anything, the anti-light campaign, which is going to shut the world down into darkness, will do away with the very notion of blindfolds. It'd be like UKIP campaigning to leave the EU. They'd shut down their own party. It's just not something you'd ever see.
Sadiq Khan has said he's going to, this is one of his election pledges, of course, when he's become mayor, the sunlight charge. Now, this is where, of course, and you'll both be aware of this, it's a story I know, but this is where in London, if you step out of a shadow and enter light, you will be charged. It's like the congestion charge, and you have to then register each time you stepped out of shadow and into light as you walk through London. What's your opinion on that, Matt? First,
well, I mean that's just London for you, isn't it? I mean the extortionate, you know, things. They'll be charging you, you know, for air and taxis soon. You know, that's just a London thing. I think the rest of us can't concern ourselves with that, you know, and I'm frankly getting pretty concerned with the amount of airtime you're giving to this anti-light sort of point of view, this brigade of anti-light people, because at some point some of us are going to have to start standing up for light, and you know, you have the connoisseurs who I've seen them, they meet on the field by me late at night and they flash their car lights at each other and then they get into each other's car and talk about, they stick the light on and they talk about it. And they get really passionate about lights.
Yeah.
And you see another person drive up a motorbike or flash their lights, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to start joining these people because someone needs to stand up for light, like these connoisseurs are, and remind people how much pleasure and joy there is in it.
Yeah. Okay. Look, this is a debate that I know will run and run. Let me ask you to sum up the debate in one word. Andrew, one word, please, for the debate about light.
Demagoguery.
And Matt, same to you, one word.
Flashing.
If you've got an opinion on whether or not we should keep light this afternoon, then let us know, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or you can use Twitter at Talk Radio.
Start your message with the word light.
60 minutes past three, the Diversity Paper Review and the Mystery Object Quiz, both coming on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip.
Your perfect hotel stay shouldn't mean worrying about the cost of an email. Unlike some hotels, at Hampton by Hilton, emailing, profile updating, downloading, browsing or blogging on our Wi-Fi is included in your stay. And when you book direct at Hampton.com, you'll also enjoy our best price guarantee. Booking somewhere else? You could always pack a carrier pigeon. Hampton by Hilton. Refreshingly different. Visit Hampton.com for terms and conditions.
Hello, Dad's Taxi.
Hi, I'd like to make a booking for tonight. Don't know when, in town, somewhere hard to find, but wait in the car. And you'll need to take Vicky home, she'll be crying, but don't say anything because you're so embarrassing.
Fed up with ferrying them around? If yours is over 18, they can get their very own C1 with Citroën Simply Drive, including 3 years insurance and everything they need for the road, for one monthly payment. Get your own car back with Citroën Simply Drive. TCs and excess mileage charges apply. Telematics box required, underwritten by UK Insurance Limited. Citroën UK Limited is a credit broker. The lender is Citroën Financial Services.
Citroën.
Trade Point, we've got a great range of top trade paint brands, including Leyland, Valspar and Dulux. Plus loads more stocked in volume in store at low trade prices. Check out our biggest trade paint shop at your local Trade Point counter today. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only. Trade Point!
Come on!
Dad?
Windows up, kids!
Mine's stuck! The cow's licking my face!
Don't let a breakdown get in the way of your holiday. Green Flag's 5-star UK cover will get you moving again in 35 minutes on average. Plus, get up to 40% off phone prices when you buy online. Green Flag, no matter what.
5-star de facto rating on Recovery Plus, underwritten by UK Insurance Limited. Time at roadside from Network Report, November 15 to March 16.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The one to avoid this afternoon is the closure of the M6 North between 19th and Knutsford and 20 at the Lym interchange. There was a major accident there earlier. Still closed for recovery. Queues back to before Junction 18. Severe southbound delays past the scene of this one as well. And the surrounding route's very busy. Greater Manchester's anti-clockwise M60. We're getting reports there's an accident between 6 at Sale and 5 at Princess Parkway. Worcestershire's A449 Worcester Road through Newland. That's blocked both ways because of an accident. And a breakdown on the A12 in the Danbury area of Essex causing northbound delays. I'm Joanna Adams.
The Teflon Maiden of Mid-Morning Radio is here.
Mid-Mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Hard-hitting debate, strong opinions and essential listening.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
You turn if you want to.
The ladies not for turning off.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon to you. It is 19 minutes past three. It is Talk Radio. If you've got a reaction, you can react it in this direction. If you've got a reaction...
Start your message with the word talk.
I haven't read the number out yet.
Okay.
If you were in the room, you'd have realised that. Instead of just running back in late...
What are we doing?
87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
What reactions have you got coming in, Cornelius? Have you got some reactions?
Lots coming in, John. Our light debate there. Yeah. At Person says he's sick and tired of hearing another bloody vampy on the radio.
Yeah.
He switched off hashtag light is right. And at opposing argument has said, well, this is absolutely typical of the light wingers.
Yeah, and I've got some reactions coming in over here as well. Not necessarily related to that, of course, they don't have to be, but this is just coming out. John, how the Supremes keep me on? How the Supremes, how they keep me on? The Supremes, how...
What's that song again?
The Supremes, John, how they keep me on? Hanging Sue Goodfried.
The telephone.
So hang it. Hang it. Something to do with the telephone.
Yeah.
It's not. So then, it is time for this afternoon's diversity paper review. If you're a regular listener to whatever this is, you will know that the man in question got himself a special BAFTA award at the television BAFTA last night, Lenny Henry, for his work in diversity in broadcasting. I ask you this, right? Where the hell was ours? I think in the last 6 or 7 weeks, we have done more for diversity on this programme than Lenny Henry has ever done.
Yeah.
Because all he's done is bang on about it. Whereas we have actually done something about it.
No.
Getting a different diversity each day to review the papers in the Diversity Paper Review. We welcome another diversity today. He's called Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello,
what John. Kind of diversity are you, Jack?
Well, I'm a few, but I'm going to say convict.
That'll do.
Convict?
convict. Are you familiar with the term?
Explain it to him.
Well, a convict, a lot of people were sent from Britain to Australia many years ago.
Okay.
And for very, very petty things. And I'm a descendant.
Fair.
Fair play.
Weird. All right, fine. So Jack's got the papers. What's in the papers?
Well, speaking of the BAFTAs, one thing I didn't think that was very diverse was the red carpet. I thought it was a bit dull, and I'll hold it up. I'll hold up some of the images.
Yeah. Oh.
A bit.
Can you just show those to the microphone a bit?
I can. Can the microphone see them? That's better. There you go. Mary Berry was my favourite, I think.
Also, just the colour red. That's not diverse, is it?
No. You know, it's dull.
You know, Lenny Henry should be moaning about that.
Yeah.
Where were the representatives of the other coloured carpet?
I know. It's that's very discriminative of them.
So what's Mary Berry got to do with anything?
Well, she just looks fantastic. She's dressed age appropriate. Her hair looks wonderful. A lovely necklace. Lovely rhinestone frock. And then who else have we got there that looks like Fern Cotton?
Fern Cotton looks nice.
Yeah, she's the only one in the most amount of colour.
What was she doing at the BAFTAs?
Oh, probably just there for the red carpet, I imagine. I don't know what else Fern does these days.
No, do I.
And what else have we got? Prince Harry. He's had a lot to say lately.
Yes, he has. What has he been saying?
Well, he's got a few things. He's trying to look for a job. He hasn't got a job at the moment, and he's trying to find something since sort of leaving his duties in the forces.
Yes.
And he wants to be taken seriously if he's earning so much taxpayer money.
This is an interview he did on the eve of the Invictus Games that he's doing, isn't it?
He's doing that. It's all part of promoting that. And he says he, you know, wants to make a lot of money. He doesn't want taxpayers to think he's just having a free ride.
Yeah.
He's also come out and said that he's worried about the future generations of kids and worrying that they don't have any real friends. They're all on Facebook and things like that. And that they're growing up in isolation. But I think there's a bit of irony in that, saying that he's a prince and he grew up in a palace.
Yes. I mean, it's not got quite the empathy that he could have with us commoners, I suppose.
Yes.
But does he, I mean, where do you stand on that, Jack? Do you think that, we talked briefly about the royal family earlier on, actually, as well, with Samir, but do they work hard to sort of ingratiate themselves with us as commoners, do you think? I mean, where do you stand on that? I mean, he said all these things. Do you think he said the right thing at this time?
Yeah, I suppose he did, because to some degree, they don't get to choose what job they have. They're born into that role, and yes. I guess they sort of just have to do the best that they can.
Yes.
And with the sort of the Queen sort of having this image of very hard-working, you know, devoting her life to the job, they've got to work really hard to sort of meet that benchmark that she set, I suppose.
Waving is difficult.
Yes.
If you had to wave all day, I mean, there's RSI for a start.
I know.
So, and Harry does, I mean, you know, Harry has his critics, certainly, but the Invictus Games is certainly a good thing, of course, that he's doing in Florida. But I think he's moaning about privacy. Is that the...
He's worried that people keep invading, or the media just don't leave him alone, and he's just come out and he said, you know, I am trying to find love. You don't need to keep following me around in nightclubs or wherever
I am.
Well,
they do, because he just keeps doing stupid things.
I know. And at the same time, he said in the article that I read that he wants to lose this Playboy image. So he's all over the place. He's up and down like a bridesmaid.
I want
frankly.
A Playboy prince, though, don't you?
I don't want.
Otherwise, you're left with Prince Charles. And what does that get you?
When you say you want a Playboy prince, what do you mean?
I mean, someday my prince will come.
Are you a monarchist?
No, not at all. No, I am. I'm
a pageant monarchist. They're sort of like a nice drama. I like to watch them, but I think at the end of the day, they're sort of just nice to watch, but they don't really have any real purpose.
Yeah, well, that's fair. A lot of people, I think, will probably agree with you. That's sort of like, it's not kind of faith or atheism, is it?
That's your definition
of the middle ground.
And I think once we see the Queen go, that could be another 20 years, perhaps. She could live for a long time. We may see a lot of countries start to, you know, get rid of the monarchy that are still attached, like Australia will probably part, things like that.
Yeah.
I
think they've got to up their game, though. I think more,
do,
you know, Prince Harry dressed as a Nazi, right?
Oh,
he's far more
in
playing strip billiards in a Vegas hotel room. Is a lot more interesting than anything Prince Charles has ever done.
Yeah,
so
I suppose.
I'd go the other way. Up your game and be more. Use your privilege. Do some stupid things that we can have fun with. That's what I want.
Well,
not the boring stuff.
Well, I'm trying to find him a job, and I have found one. There's another story we've got here. It's the army is facing a bit of a problem with overweight soldiers.
Right.
And they've had to give at least 20, I believe, liposuction at the taxpayer's expense. And another 270 have been handed out some diet pills. So, you know, back in the day, they used to just have to run around the field.
Yes.
And, you know, that was it. But now they get liposuction. It's quite glamorous.
But liposuction, and I forgive me for not really knowing, but I'm guessing it doesn't make you fit, does it? Like, it just sucks
exactly,
some fat off.
Exactly, that's it. You're sort of still just as unfit. Maybe you don't have as much to carry around,
yeah.
So therefore you can run a bit faster.
What they should do is liposucked all the guts out of the soldiers that are fat. Chuck and make them carry that themselves.
Maybe.
Around the battle in training.
So they still have to hold it on. If they want the surgery, they still have to carry the same amount of weight
fat,
they've had, you know,
but,
sucked out.
But weight
around.
Training is a thing.
Yeah.
So if they just taught them how to lift their guts properly, right, then, and their moobs or whatever, then surely that's just training, isn't it?
Yeah, perhaps. And well, they're saying that this is why we've got overweight soldiers is because of the, you know, the latest generation of kids getting into the army have got a culture of a lot of junk food and things like that. So that's where this problem has arose.
Right, okay.
So that could be a job for Prince Harry.
Yeah, well, it's an armchair generation now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the generation now, you know, when I was at school, and let's not put too fine a point on this, Jack, right? When I was at school, the only people that joined the army, right, were the thick kids.
Really?
Yeah, generally, yeah, right? I'm being, you know, controversial because it's talk radio, but
it's not that controversial.
No,
it's true.
It was. So, but now you see, it's the generation is joining. I mean, but they'd be out playing their football and mugging people, right? Mm. That's what they did
back in the day.
Back in the day, but now they sit at home playing Call of Duty. So they're learning the craft of warfare on the computer, aren't they? So they're actually probably better trained.
Do you still think it's the same people are getting into it for the same reason today? Because of you know, they've got nothing else better to do, therefore they'll just join the army? Is that what you think?
I think a lot of people go into the army because they either follow family in or they have that way of you know, it is a valid profession, it's a job and all the rest of it. But I think it's one of those things where people just kind of view it as I'm going to go and. Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure what to do. The people I spoke to don't quite know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, because I know some soldiers, and they don't quite know what to do, and they see it as a regimented way of life.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, if it wasn't for this, I'd have been in prison.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot in interviews with soldiers, which I think is kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. So what we're saying is Prince Harry should be in prison.
Yeah, he should be in prison helping overweight soldiers.
Correct.
That's the crux of that.
Very quick, final one to finish.
Another soldier, Margaret Thatcher. Whether you liked her or not, she was very good at making speeches, but she was very, very nervous. James Rosenbush has come out. He's a writer, and he says that she used to have to psych herself up. She used to get so nervous, and she used to say to herself, "Come on, old gal, you can do it."
That's not a bad Thatcher.
Really,
she'd get very nervous backstage, and there you go. When she's, you know, at conferences and things like that, but you could never ever tell.
You could never tell. No, she was, you know, a formidable woman.
Speaking
of which, Victoria's got the news next. Victoria, do you psych yourself up for the news in the same... I mean, I see you pacing up and down outside.
Come on, old girl.
Yeah, doing that.
Yeah, I really have to, especially on this show.
Okay, fine. Jack, thank you so much coming in. That's Jack, our diversity pay-per-viewer for today. Still to come in the next half an hour, there will be today's mystery object quiz. We also have a round of what the people think. We've been out on the streets to find out whether the people think shirts... or fire. Now, though, it's exactly 3:30. It's Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
After getting away with murder for more than three decades, a father of four has been jailed for at least 22 years for killing a teenage girl in Somerset in a sexually motivated attack. 64-year-old Christopher Hampton only admitted stabbing 17-year-old Melanie Rowe to death in 1984 after a breakthrough in DNA evidence. Her mother, Jean, said it was incredibly hard seeing him in court.
It's not a man, he's a monster. How could he do that? Then I realised that his wife and his daughter were sitting behind me, both blonde hair, the same as Melanie. How could he do that to somebody and then live with people like that and them not knowing?
Boris Johnson says trust in politics has been corroded because decisions can't be taken in Westminster. The EU Vote Leave campaign has dismissed claims made earlier by David Cameron that withdrawing from the union would put peace at risk. Two men are now being questioned on suspicion of murder after the death of a serving soldier in the Welsh town Brecon. A 22 and 23-year-old have been arrested after the death of the serviceman yesterday. Hundreds of passengers on a British cruise ship have fallen ill with norovirus. More than a quarter of the people have fallen ill on the Balmoral, which is on its way to Canada from the US state of Maine. A fortnight before the French Open, Andy Murray is split from his coach, Amélie Mauresmo. They spent nearly 2 years working together. And Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne is going to star as a caveman in a new animated comedy made by the makers of Wallace and Gromit. He'll play Doug in the film, which is called Early Man. The weather: outbreaks of rain, which will be heavy at times spreading across the south overnight, but it'll be mainly dry further north. Lows of around 11 degrees is more in half an hour.
Thanks, Victoria. It's time now.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Maximise your morning mojo.
I beg your pardon.
And get turned on to the new Fearless Breakfast Show that can't keep its mouth shut.
I'm Paul Ross. Join me from 6 on Talk Radio. If it's on your mind, get it on the radio. The big new station for the whole of the UK, you lucky people.
Supercharged radio that demands a reaction.
Plug in to Paul Ross and make your morning hum.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Tomorrow morning from 6.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. Momentarily, the mystery object quiz, that's to come. But before that, we've been out on the streets, as you'd expect us to do, because we're at a Talk Radio station and we need to fill time. So, out on the streets to find out, as we regularly do, what the people think. We go outside and we find people and we see what they think. And today, what do the people think? Do they think shirts or fire?
Fire, shirts.
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 Fire.
Shirts.
Shirts.
Fire.
Shirts.
Fire.
Fire.
Shirts. Shirts.
Fire.
Fire.
Shirts.
Fire.
Shirts.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. Shirts. Shirts. Shirts.
Shirts.
Fire.
Shirts.
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 Fire.
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 Shirts.
Shirts.
Fire.
Shirts.
Fire.
Fire.
Fire. Shirts.
Fire.
Fire.
Shirts.
Shirts.
Fire.
Fire.
Shirts.
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 Fire.
Shirts.
Fire.
Shirts.
And what the people think this afternoon, they're thinking shirts or fire. Do you think shirts or fire? Do text us to let us know whether you think shirts or fire. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or use at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with the word shirts or the word fire.
A lot coming in as well. Neil is in Wiltshire. He says shirts. Joel is somewhere else. He says fire. Dan says shirts. Laura, fire. Katrina, shirts. Jake, shirts. Vivian, shirts. David, shirts. Alex, fire. Rachel, fire. Carla, fire. Neil, shirts. Cornelius, you've got some there as well.
Yeah, lots coming in. Holly saying shirts. Helen says fire. Rachel is saying shirts. And Uzi says fire, as does Geeky Girl,
okay,
who says shirts.
Fine. Keep those coming, as I say. 87.
Start your message with the word talk.
Oh, yeah. It's time for this afternoon's mystery object quiz. If you've heard this before, then you know exactly what you have to do. It's quite simple. All you have to do is identify the mystery object. It's like they do on Heart or something, isn't it? Identify the mystery object that I hold up in front of the microphone. You can send your answers once you've made a guess to 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
That's already on Twitter.
Best read the words like.
I'm just going to hold up the...
Oh, it's got a case.
Today's object.
Yeah, take it out of the case.
There we go. What is that? It's holding it in front of the microphone now. Let's move it back a bit. Hang on. There you go.
Get it all in.
How's that?
Can you see it all now?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to put it down because it's heavy.
Yep.
What is that object that I was holding up in front of the microphone? It's the mystery object quiz. Your guess is very welcome. 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
And if you get it right, we have £500,000 to give away.
£500,000 not available.
Available to give away.
Not available.
As a prize.
Not a prize.
500. The thing about that's £500,000.
Wow.
£500,000 not available.
For guessing the mystery object this afternoon.
No prizes or money available.
on the radio.
No radio available.
That's true. I'm going to hold up the object again. There we go. What?
Wow.
Is that?
Wow.
Putting that out.
Did you bring that from home?
How did you get your hands on that?
I got it delivered to the building because I couldn't carry that from home.
I was going
to
say, it's like a van load, isn't it, really?
What is it? 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message anywhere you like.
Okay, we've got a few guesses coming in. John says, Colin, is it? Oh, no, it's very easy today, actually, because I could. It's obviously a small wigwam that's been made for a mustard mill. You are close, Carla. Now Shuffle has gone down the route of going, well, it was quite a heavy load.
Just seen that one.
So, John, were you holding up an entire street team for Cornelius? Now, we might need to explain. I mean, I wasn't, but we might need to explain that. So what that is that Shuffle is a regular listener.
Why doesn't Cornelius explain it?
No.
That's the best way.
Really?
Yeah. Just tell us a story.
So what Shuffle has done is I used to be on the street team of a radio station, and he's referenced that.
No.
I think that's all he's done.
No, what he's referencing there, Colin, is that once, that when we used to work a different radio station over at Radio X, where in the company Global, who also own Heart...
Mm.
Right. He's referencing the fact that Heart have what they call street teams, which is groups of people out on the streets giving out leaflets telling people they can win £500,000 or something on a mystery quiz.
Probably just, available over there.
Yeah, probably. Annoying. So, and then you, at the Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
managed to indulge in some intercourse with the... leader of the Heart street team, who was a 65-year-old lady.
That is not true.
Called Cressida. Because she reminded you of your mum, who taught you how to kiss. And that is the story that Shuffle, which ironically is also what Cornelius went home and did, is referencing in his tweet. Anyway, suffice to say, I wasn't holding up a street team. Do you think you can identify the mystery object? Mm. I will just lift it up one more time.
Yep.
There it is. What's that that I'm holding up in front of the microphone? I'm going to have to put it down. So, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
We'll roll it over. No one's got it so far. We'll get through some more guesses, but no one's got it yet. If you think you know what it was, then do get in touch because the mystery object quiz continues. After this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Some people believe that hybrid cars are expensive. Then again, some people also believe that aliens built the pyramids. UFOs make crop circles. No one's ever won the lottery. The Earth is actually flat. Bigfoot, Nessie and the abominable snowman. Oh, and we never went to the moon, which incidentally is a hologram. So, you can't believe everything you hear now, can you? But the Toyota Yaris Hybrid is available with 0% APR representative, £900 towards your deposit, and 3 years free servicing. Fact. Finance deposit allowance available when financed flexibly through Toyota Financial Services. 3 years free servicing up to 30,000 miles. Indemnities may be required. Subject to status to over 18s. Terms and conditions apply. Excludes active. Nessie isn't real.
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition, to help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
Get it straight from Selco.
Selco.
It's where the trades go.
Get a real deal from Selco Builders Warehouse on a wide range of trade quality building products. In May, get a real deal on a 12-tube box of GP200 silicon sealant for just $11.99 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. See even more real deals and thousands of products in stock at selcobw.com.
Get it straight from Selco.
Selco.
It's where the trades go.
All of us at QuickFit would like to say a big thank you to each and every one of our customers. And what better way to say thanks than offering you a great deal, like
a free 40-point brake check. So get down to your local QuickFit today. QuickFit, it's all about the service.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The one to avoid this afternoon is the closure of the M6 North between 19th and Knutsford and 20 at the Lym interchange. There was a major accident there earlier. Still closed for recovery. Queues back to before Junction 18. Severe southbound delays past the scene of this one as well, and the surrounding route's very busy. Greater Manchester's anti-clockwise M60. We're getting reports there's an accident between 6 at Sale and 5 at Princess Parkway. Worcestershire's A449 Worcester Road through Newland. That's blocked both ways because of an accident. And a breakdown on the A12 in the Danbury area of Essex causing northbound delays. I'm Joanna Adams.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney!
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon then. It's 3:43 ahead of Mystery Objects. Some reactions. Reactions. You know how it works. If you've got a reaction, you can react it to Talk Radio. You can do it via 87 treble.
Start your message with the word talk.
Or at Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
That is... you might find a reaction. A lot of people were reacting yesterday, or saying yesterday, they were in their gardens because of the weather. It was so sunny, wasn't it? A lot of people were just getting the barbecues out for the first time in the season, just getting them out from last year and just opening the cover, finding a couple of old reactions just underneath, yeah, just on the grill there, and they've cleaned them off and sent them to us. Cornelius, what?
Well, these are actually two very fresh reactions. Yeah. God, I wish I was on holiday still has come in from me. And Mean Presenter has texted, well, that's good news for the both of us.
Good. It's I've got one here, actually. I've got a reaction. A reaction here. It says, John, I was listening to my child's CD of classic children's songs, and the song Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf came on.
Yeah.
Right. And my, John, I'll be honest with you, my boy, he's five, John, he's five, and he turned to me and he said, Daddy, who is afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? And I replied, I'm sorry, son, I just can't tell you. And while it's common knowledge... in America and Scotland, as to the identity of exactly who is afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. And it can be, the identity of the person who's afraid of it can be published legally in Scotland and in America. But I'm afraid, I simply can't tell you, son, because we live in England. But Daddy said, it's all over the internet, the person who's afraid of the Big Bad Wolf. And I said, I know, son, but the person who's afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, I just can't tell you who it was. And he said, Christ, Daddy, this is it's five, surely... This is a new type of law not set out by Parliament to protect the rich and famous from scrutiny, and it's simply not a reasonable use of state power. I said, that's right, son. And then I said, come on, let's go and watch telly. Downton Abbey's on. So, this afternoon, we've got a mystery object, of course. We've got a mystery object in the studio. All you have to do is identify what the mystery object is. And I'm going to...
A couple of people have been texting in, John, to say, can you hold it a bit closer to the microphone?
Okay, it's quite heavy, though.
I know, but they're okay. They can't help them.
All right. How close do you want it? A bit closer?
A little bit closer.
A bit closer than that?
Yeah,
all right.
Right up.
Okay, how close? How about that?
There it is. Yeah.
Right, okay. So all you got to do is identify that. Just give you a couple of seconds. All you got to do. Dave, can you actually hold that end of it? Because I can't.
Yep.
Got to struggle with it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's heavy to hold for it.
Right, well, isn't it?
Yeah,
bend your knees, John. Bend your knees, not your back.
I've got to bend my knees quite a long way, okay. To be honest.
Yeah. Hang on.
Get down to John's height.
If I wasn't holding this, I would punch you. Is that long enough?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, fine.
I'll put it
out. Okay, pass it over. Just pass it. That's it.
You got it?
Yeah, I'll just put it back.
Don't drop it.
I won't drop it. Oh, there we go. Right, so what's that? 87 treble 2.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Hi John. Is it Is it George Galloway's hat? It's just come in there. It's not George Galloway's hat, no. Cornelius, what have you got there?
Is it the back of that bitter Britain First guy? You know, the guy who lost.
Yeah, him.
That's coming from Darren.
It's not Darren, no. It's not Lenny Henry's BAFTA that he was awarded, awarded last night. Lenny Henry has selfishly kept his own BAFTA. Is it, John, that black and blue dress from the internet?
Oh, the internet dress.
You remember the internet dress?
Yeah, I remember.
It was briefly famous.
Yes.
That dress, by the way, I saw it signed up for next series of Strictly.
Really?
Now, it's because that dress is technically a celebrity.
Oh, wow. Oh, that would be good.
Because it's, obviously it's just got famous on the internet. And it's now a celebrity. It's going to Strictly come dancing. It's just, but they can't work out what it's going to wear. Dave, have you got some guesses there?
Yeah, is it the pedalo that Freddie Flintoff once got stranded at sea in?
It's not the pedalo,
Samuel,
that he once got stranded at sea in.
No.
Although I have been on the beach where that happened.
Yeah.
Yes, and there is a sign, like a sort of a memorial plaque, saying this was the spot that Freddie Flintoff stole the pedalo. It's in St Lucia. And dragged into the sea. And I met Freddie Flintoff once, and we were talking about and I told him I'd been on the beach where he stole it from. And he said, what was funny about it, obviously afterwards, he was very contrite afterwards, he had to be, didn't he, because he was the drunk cricketer man. And afterwards he got the bill from the hotel when he checked out, and it just said, like, you know, room service, bar, pizza, room service, bar, and it just went, pedlo, £10,000. To pay for it. Is it Monica Lewinsky's stained dress? It's not that. Although that probably would also be quite heavy, given. Dave?
Is it, John? This is actually probably as close as we've had so far.
Yes.
Is it the first episode of Robert Peston's new show, Peston on Sunday?
No, but I can see why. I can see
that's
why.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. Is it not?
No, but I can see why you might have thought it was.
Yeah. It's Carrie Ann that sent that in. Thank you, Carrie Ann.
Is it the microphone that Barack Obama mic dropped at the end of his final White House Correspondents' Dinner speech last week? Have you seen one? Now, look, it's not, but look, there's £500,000 up for grabs. If you get the answer to this correct...
£500,000 not available.
...and send it to Talk Radio now, 87222...
Start your message with the word Talk.
...or at Talk Radio...
Start your message with any word you like.
...then you can win £500,000 by guessing the mystery object here on Talk Radio. £500,000 up for grabs before 4 o'clock.
Not available in any regions.
If you get the answer correct, then you will win... £500,000.
You will not win £500,000. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it the weird tiny little microphone that Andrea Bocelli sang into at Leicester City at the weekend? Weird tiny little microphone.
It was. Like a little marshmallow. I thought it was just going to sort of eat it at the end. Just go, hop, like that.
It's much heavier than that, isn't it? It took two of us to lift it up.
Yeah. It's not that. I mean, you know, come on. While you're thinking, by the way, I don't know if you've seen any news this week. Any news?
This week, the week's very young, isn't it, John?
Well, I mean, today.
Not even all the news has sort of come out yet. Today? It's not seen hide nor hair of it, John.
Cornelius.
Hi.
Have you seen any of the news this week?
Oh, yeah.
Today?
Yeah, today, yeah.
Have you?
Well, my little baby cousin came over. Oh. So I had to change its news.
Yes.
Yeah, because it had soiled the news. So I had to give it some news.
Has he gone to the? Has he?
She.
She. Gone.
He.
Has he?
It.
Has it got to the point?
Television.
That's the television. Got to the point.
Seven.
Has the seven got to the point where it where you change its nappy?
I wish I was taller.
It's nappy, and you, and it's because when a television first poos, it hasn't when it poos news, it doesn't smell, does it?
No.
It's only later when the television gets a few months old that its news starts to stink like adult
Yeah, ITV2, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With Keith Lemon on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it's called Celebrity Juice. especially excrement. Anyway, the news is quite complicated.
Yeah, I can't get my head around it.
Well, allow us to help, because this is where we break the news down for you to its component parts. And when you do that, of course, what you end up with at the bottom of the still is Japanese poetry. Mm. It's news explained in the form and the art and the medium of Japanese poetry. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Papers say that some mer could be hottish yet, like they do every year.
The news in haikus. Still haven't got any correct guesses for the mystery object. I think we're going to have to roll it
over, John.
Kate's come in with, is it a replica of Donald Trump's wig? thank you, Kate. No, is it a stool to stand on when ringing doorbells with your member, as recommended by Mr. Kellogg? And if you weren't listening about an hour ago, that will make absolutely no sense.
No.
That's from Clee Hill, Billy. So, we're going to have to roll this over. I mean, there's £500,000 up for grabs. That's £500,000.
£500,000 not available or up for grabs.
Cornelius, have you got any reactions coming in?
Lots of reactions coming
just,
in.
Just round up everything from the show now, like at the end.
Yes, at Celebrity Gossip says, I'll tell you who Beyonce loves. Not J.A. Not J.B. Not J.C.
Yeah.
Not JD, not JE, not JF, not JG, not JH, not JI, not JJ, not JK, not JL, not JM, not JN, not JO, not JP, not JQ, not JR, not JS, not JT, not JU, not JV, not JW, not JX, but JZ. And then Celebrity Gossip 2 who says, well, I'll tell you who Jay-Z loves. Not Beyonce. Not Beyonce X, not Beyonce W, not Beyonce V, not Beyonce U, not Beyonce T, not Beyonce S, not Beyonce R, not Beyonce Q, not Beyonce P, not Beyonce O, not Beyonce N, not Beyonce M, not Beyonce L, not Beyonce K, not Beyonce J, not Beyonce I, not Beyonce H, not Beyonce G, not Beyonce F, not Beyonce E, not Beyonce D, not Beyonce C, not Beyonce B, but Rita Ora. Allegedly.
You missed the Y out of the first one, otherwise that would have been
fine. I'll do it again. I'll tell you who Beyonce. No, I won't.
Right then, it's coming up to the 4 o'clock. Whence the time for Mr. Sam Delaney, who joins us now in a summery jacket.
Yep. Just trying to get to grips with the microphone in here. Literally, I've been doing this for a while, this sort of a gig.
Yeah.
And I was just dependent on Cornelius showing me that it was effectively upside down. Yeah. Which I don't want to, you know, bring down your hopes for the next 3 hours, but I literally don't know the very fundamentals of hosting a radio show. I try and do it stood on my head, speaking in Greek.
How are you? What's going on? What's happening in the thing?
BBC and the BAFTAs.
What about it?
Well, I don't usually like awards shows because they're just irritating, aren't they? You know, you sit there, you think, why isn't there an awards show just about me, Sam Delaney?
Yeah.
And they give me a series of awards for different elements of my personality and achievements.
And the award for microphone technique.
Yeah. No, but even that, the juror would be my mum.
Yeah.
She would effectively be the committee for everything, and she'd even find a reason for me getting an award for having the funniest mishap with a microphone in the studio. Anyway, so I was watching and thinking, this is awful. I was actually waiting for the film Daddy's Home to download,
right,
starring Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. I decided I wanted to watch that. which I eventually did, and it was hilarious. But while it was downloading, I thought, I'd better watch a bit of the BAFTAs.
Yep.
I thought, this will be boring. But then the first bloke to get up there is, first of all, in a really flamboyant kind of floral pattern jacket, straight away not doing much to challenge stereotypes of what people imagine kind of metropolitan BBC producers look like. And then he made a right lovey-ish old speech railing against the government's alleged attack on the BBC.
Yes.
And suddenly I was interested, and now we're going to talk about it today. Because
okay.
I am not convinced, but I'm prepared to be convinced otherwise, that normal people who don't wear floral jackets and produce like Wolf Hall couldn't care less.
Yeah, I just agree with you. I think they can. I think it is like the NHS. I think it's like a, and I think without it, we would be fewer culturally rich, in the sense of but because of the way it is funded, you're not pandering to commercial.
You might be right, but I just think lots of people don't really think about it that way, because lots of people now. Because, you know, in the old days when we were kids and there was just BBC 1 and 2 and then the radio stations, a few other channels, it's like, oh, I'm quite dependent on that.
Yeah.
So many people just don't encounter the BBC
true,
anymore.
This generation don't.
And so
you're right.
The idea that anyone's going to get up and march on the streets or fight for it, they encounter the NHS every day, but not the BBC.
That's fair. I got, what I always find really weird, I was talking about this earlier, in these award ceremonies, is just the weird juxtaposition when they give an award out for coverage of a terrible disaster.
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, and like it happened last night, and what you got was and the BAFTA for Massacre in Paris goes to Jon Snow and Channel 4 News, and then you just go, Massacre in Paris! It cuts to Tess Daly looking pleased about it.
Yeah.
And it's just a really weird watch.
Well, that's just news all round. I was in a newsroom when the second Gulf War began, and it was confirmed, and it came through, right, it's been announced, it's official now, it's been greenlit, they're going in. And there was reaction like that in the news from them, because there's, you've got a lot of journalists thinking, great, no more cats up trees for me, it's award time. Very unedifying.
The award winning Sam Delaney.
Yeah. Question mark? I'm going to leave that hanging. I'm not going to confirm or deny that I've ever won an award.
That's fine, we'll take it. From 4, which is next. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Talk Radio, I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.